Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of The Rick Emerson Show is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric. Hi, this is Rick Emerson. And if you're hearing this announcement, it's because you're about to be blessed by an encore presentation of The Rick Emerson Show, or as we call it, Rick Emerson Self-Loathing on Parade. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new show. Until then, remember, if you hate reruns, you hate Fred Berry. You don't hate Fred Berry, do you? And now, the best of the Rick Emerson radio program.
Public restrooms can often be a hangout for the homosexual. Bobby and his friends hadn't noticed the man who had been in the restroom when they changed, and as it was late, he suggested they take the shortcut under the pier, but the others preferred to take the more traveled way home. Bobby recognized the stranger as the man in the restroom. The shortcut under the pier didn't seem like a good idea at all. After all, it's more fun to stay with your friends anyway. Bobby had made a wise decision. It may have saved his life. So keep with your group. And don't go off alone with strangers unless you have the permission of your parent or teacher.
To most girls, the menstrual period should bring no severe discomfort. Some girls have a little less pep, a feeling of pressure in the lower part of the body, perhaps an occasional twinge or a touch of nerves. But don't let it get you down. After all, no matter how you feel, you have to live with people. You have to live with yourself, too. Not only can you bathe, you should bathe. Because during menstruation, your perspiration glands are working overtime. Just be careful to avoid either very hot water or very cold water. Exercise is good for you during menstruation. Just use common sense. When you come to think of it, most of your daily routine is on the mild side. It's going to extremes that's wrong and to be avoided. And once you stop feeling sorry for yourself and take those days in your stride, you'll find it's easier to keep smiling and even-tempered. And do something about that slouch. Slumpy posture is just as bad inside as it looks outside. So stand up straight and let the organs function from the position that nature intended. And incidentally, it's smart to keep looking smart. That well-groomed feeling will give you new poise and lift your morale, especially when it's backed up with year-round fresh air and sunshine and plenty of rest and sleep. Because the best possible insurance against trouble on those days is healthy living every day. And that's the story. There's nothing strange nor mysterious about menstruation. All life is built on cycles. And the menstrual cycle is one normal and natural part of nature's eternal plan for passing on the gift of life.
22 minutes after the hour of 1, and this, the month of November in the year of our Lord, 2010. Thank you for coming along, making it part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Emerson News Network, America's new home for quality fun. Thank you for joining us. It is Monday. It is Monday, November 15th, 2010, and welcome to Day 12. Thank you for joining us. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-505-6964, 503-505-6964. If you would like to join us today with your comments, questions, clarifications, observations, ruminations, kvetches, musings, ponderings of an ironic nature, recipes, haberdashery, tips, recommendations, whatever it is you might have, it's 503-505-6964. You know, here's the thing. Did you ever do this where you're meaning to give out one phone number and then you give out, like, either your home phone or, like, a number you haven't had for, like, 40 years?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I just started to give out a phone number that I think belongs to no one. I'm fairly certain that the number I was about to give out doesn't, in fact, belong to anybody that I know. It's a number that I've never dialed. I don't think it's a number I've ever seen.
So you're just making up random...
I was just about to say, I don't know why, 503-259... And then
maybe it's something you heard on a commercial once.
Maybe it's just logic. Is it like the Art Institute of Seattle? Called 206-623-7723.
I don't. There was one from when I was a kid that I've never forgotten either. That was for like a roofing company or something. It was like, that's 749-7076. That's 749. And it's just, I think it's because of the guy's inflection, the way he said 749. I've never forgotten that phone number.
Sheer repetition as well. When I was a kid, I would watch the KSTW 1 o'clock movie when I was a child. That was the same station that gave us Star Blazers in the morning, by the way. So I would come home. It was a simpler time. It was I think they had like one sponsor for the 1 o'clock movie where they showed the weirdest things. Okay, I gotta start making notes because I'm doing that thing where I'm gonna get inside a thing, inside a thing, inside a sweater. All right, hold on. Vincent Price.
Uh-huh.
Pencil. Movie. Number. Number. Oxnard. Okay.
Oxnard Montalvo.
But when I was a kid, I would watch the 1 o'clock movie, and I think it was solely sponsored by the Art Institute of Seattle. And the only image I remember from these ads, and I'm presuming the Art Institute of Seattle, you know, it's the same one then as it is now, and I guess it's probably part and parcel, like the same, you know, it's like the Art Institute of Portland or whatever. So the schools are up probably, you know, then as now, it was for like, you know, the beret wearing set who want to, you know, I don't know, folks who want to spray paint something and smoke a lot of cigarettes, I guess. But the only thing I can remember from the ad, like, I don't remember them talking about any of the, like, the curriculum or talking about what the class load was going to be or what they were going to teach you. The only thing that stands out to me from those ads for the Art Institute of Seattle was that there was, like, this chair. First of all, have you noticed this? That ads for art institutes or places that claim to teach you some sort of aesthetic sensibility, they always have the worst art you've ever seen in your entire life.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, the classic example is the thing like you're drawing Cubby the Turtle on the inside of a... And Cubby looks like he was drawn by a mongoloid with one hand, first of all. You know?
Although our friend Mike Russell did point out not too long ago that Cubby the Turtle actually looks surprisingly like Pep Boy Roberts. Same little cap, same general facial structure. He put photos of them side by side. And, Cubby the Turtle...
I guess I could see that, not unlike how Fred Gwynne kind of looked like an owl to me a lot of the time. Okay, no, I could see that. But there was this ad in for the Art Institute of Seattle, and the one shot I remember was like this terrible, it wasn't clip art because I don't think clip art existed then, but it was this terrible like panel drawing of a smiling, it was like a cartoon of a smiling youth and his female friend, maybe they were both students or something, writing on a giant pencil. And it seemed, I don't know that I could have said phallic at the time or would have known necessarily what it meant. But, I mean, really, she was writing this guy's giant pencil and clutching him around the midsection and grinning broadly. She seemed to be enjoying the pencil ride, let's put it that way. But the thing that they would say like 1,000 times during the ad is they would say, call the Art Institute of Seattle at 206-623-7723. I am 37 years of age. That was when I was in kindergarten, which means it was 32 years ago.
Wow.
I don't remember my mom's birthday, if I ever knew it. I barely remember where I live some days. I still do that jazz where I bend down and it's like I go to tie my shoes and I have to stop for a second because I'm like, I don't know, the snake goes through the hole and chases the squirrel. No, that's something else altogether. And then I realize I don't even know what that is. I'm just reciting some crap that Hooper tells Quint or whatever in Jaws. But the Art Institute of Seattle is 206-623-7723, or was at that time. Here's the thing about Vincent Price. So you and I have talked about this before, the phenomenon, when you are young, that there were, you know, there's only so many channels, and so they would just have to fill them all the... It seems like it should have been easier to fill the channels when we were kids, right? Because there was only, like, three channels on, and, like, half of that was just, like, the McNeil-Lehrer Hour or whatever, you know, or MASH. Why was it so difficult to fill the channels when we were growing up that they had to find, like, they had to be showing me Little Big Man when I was, like, nine? I mean, it makes no sense at all.
Well, we had seven channels in Los Angeles.
La-di-da.
Seven channels.
Shoot the bell of the ball.
Whatever.
Some of us didn't live in your fancy zoetrope world where we got hot and cold running entertainment brought into our house and palm fronds waved at us while rose petals were showered at our feet, Dawn. Anyway... For the 1 o'clock movie, at one point, they showed this movie that I have never seen again. It's one of those films that you see, and then later you think you have imagined it because no one else. Here's two movies, actually, that I am the only one I know who has ever. I have spent years. Is there something that you have researched on the internet for years trying to scratch the itch of, like, what was that thing? And you can't find it?
Not really. The internet has helped answer most of those questions for me. But I do remember I went through that with the film I passed on to you, The 5,000 Fingers of Dr. T, for most of my life because I saw that movie like twice when I was a kid. And like all the way up into adulthood, I would say to people, I'd be like, okay, there was this thing, and it was like a Dr. Seuss movie, and this kid was forced to play the piano, and all the kids had these hats with hands on the top.
You're making that up!
And no one knew what I was talking about. And finally, you know, with the advent of the internet, I was able to find that there were a number of people out there like me who were obsessed with this movie.
Did people do the thing of, like, suggesting, like, when you would go, like, and it was a movie, and there was a piano, and the hats, and the kids, and the whatever, and they would try to fill in the blank with a movie that, it, like, clearly was not.
Right.
It demonstrably was it. Was Kevin Costner? Was it The Postman?
Yeah.
And you're like, no,
was
jackass.
Was it The Impossible Journey? Was it like a dog and a cat on their way home? No.
Was it The Journey of Natty Gann? Was it Journey to the Center of the Earth? Anything?
The one thing the internet has not been able to help me with is I swear when I was a kid, I watched either a horror movie or like an episode of The Outer Limits or something like that, but I think it was a black and white horror movie. And all I remember is that towards the end of the movie, there was a scene in, like, a roadhouse in the middle of the desert, and there were these things that looked like these giant spiders, and they were crawling towards somebody, and the guy shot one, and when he shot it, it split into two. So it's like if you tried to kill them, they would actually multiply.
That is disturbing.
And I've never been able to find out what that was from, if it was actually just some kind of horrible dream I had, or if it was something
I was going to ask,
a movie
actually.
But I remember it in my mind.
If you're sure you saw it.
I remember it in my mind as being a black and white film that I saw.
Here's the two things that plague me. There's some Vincent Price movie, and this is the thing. This doesn't plague me all that much because I guess I could look it up. I mean, I could see his filmography is like, it's long. But, I mean, this doesn't bother me that much, or I think I would have figured it out. It was a Vincent Price movie. It was color, not black and white, in which he played, I believe, both an angel and a devil. Not the devil. Both an angel and a devil. And they were having a sort of hearing at which, like, God or somebody was the judge. And it was to determine whether man should be allowed to continue to live or whether man should be extinguished, you know, like... Through atomic warfare or whatever it was at the time. And they were presenting pieces of evidence to prove that man was either inherently worth saving or inherently not worth saving. Kind of like a Screwtape Letter sort of a thing. But Vincent Price played both the prosecutor and the defense attorney, one an angel, one a devil. And that's really all I remember. But I remember watching it when I was a kid, and then my mom came in, and all she saw was that there was a guy who was like the devil on the screen, and that was the end of that movie. And it was turned off, and I think it was a while before I was allowed to watch the 1 o'clock movie ever again. So there's that. That kind of bugs me. Here's the one that drives me mental, though. I have spent just... You have no idea how many times I have tried to look this up. All I remember about this is that... It was not a cartoon in the way that Bugs Bunny's a cartoon. It was almost like a made-for-television cartoon event, like a half-an-hour program. In other words, it was sort of like a half-hour drama show, not an ongoing. It was like a one-time that just happened to be animated, almost like a made-for-TV movie, but shorter and animated. I was like 10, so it had to be on one of the networks. And it was about a team of humans here on Earth, literally a baseball team, playing baseball against some aliens. Some aliens come down, and they're playing baseball against an Earth baseball team. And at one point, I think the aliens are cheating, and so it's like the humans have to cheat to win, or the humans are cheating, and so the aliens cheat to win. Somebody starts cheating, and then there's some drama. But it was animated, and it was on at night, and it was about aliens and humans playing baseball against each other.
I have no idea.
You have no idea. How do you search for that? I mean, you put aliens, baseball, animated. That gets nothing, by the way. I do seem to remember that there was like a creepy chant at one point that the other team had, the alien baseball team had. And it's one of those things that when you say it out loud, sounds retarded because you know that it probably wasn't the chant, but it's how it echoes in your brain. But all I remember was they had some weapon called, I believe it was called a, it sounds so dumb, but I believe the aliens had some weapon they were cheating with, and it was called a Goomba gun, like G-O-O-M-B-A, Goomba gun. And they were chanting something about load up the Goomba gun. And I have Googled the phrase, load up the Goomba gun, which, by the way, load up the Goomba gun sounds like I am the president of Swahili, you know, or like I am. And I give you the Prime Minister of Chad, load up the Goomba gun, you know, and I say, hello, you are a great nation. Can I validate, you know, or whatever. I got nothing. So those, I'm not expecting, by the way, that at any moment a guy's going to like call and say, here's the answer. I have looked for the answer just for years. It's not going to be found. All right. It is the Rick Emerson radio program. Greetings and salutations to you on this very fine Monday. Draw near, for today we have the Clergy Watch. Got your Clergy Watch coming up today. Also, Mr. Aaron Duran will join us with the Week in Geek. Mr. Aaron Duran are going to be phoning in with the Week in Geek later on. We've also got the Top 5 coming up later on today. So it's supposed to be just a big pile of news. I mean, today is sort of like Friday was. You said it was just the stories were basically trying to elbow each other out of the way so they could get access to you because they all demand to be read. We have the continuing saga of this guy, Tyner, I think his name is. The TSA guy, the guy that said, like, you know, you're not going to grab my junk, you're not going to douse me with radiation or whatever. And so people have been emailing me questions about that. So I got all these folks. Normally people only text me to say they're going to be traveling if they want me to play the Blood Rock song. But now it's like they want me to play the Blood Rock song. And also they're asking me questions about the procedure that they're going to face at PDX if they fly. Here's the thing. I'm not TSA security as such. Not per se. But we're going to try to figure that out at some point today. So we got that to get to. And then on the table in front of me, I see two chilling condensation-covered cans of Four Loko.
Indeed.
One of the nation's premium malt and sugar beverages, also containing caffeine. Isn't that right, Don?
That's true. Because I realized that, yes, I have this convenience store right across the street from the complex where I live. And I thought, well, while I've got the chance to actually purchase the Four Loko, should do so, because one of us is going to have to actually pop them open and give it a try. And
well, you've
see
tried
if it, actually...
it, though, haven't you?
I tasted it. I just tasted it, one mouthful of it on Thanksgiving last year when Aaron Duran had it, and I went, oh, my God, that's horrible. And so, except I'm not even sure it was Four Loko, because as I recall, it was coffee-flavored and caffeinated and had booze.
Well,
and it was awful.
Aaron did have Four Loko because I've got on tape.
Then that must be what it was.
I don't think we aired this as part of our Thanksgiving special. I think there were too many people talking at once for us to really air this. But there was this moment where I have the audio of this, where we were discussing Mickey's Malt Liquor, because, you know, Sarah Extill and Greg Nibbler, they're big fans of Mickey's Wide Mouth. And so we were talking about Mickey's Malt Liquor, and we were talking about, I was regaling people with the tale. You know, I used to work at a 7-Eleven in California, and people would come in at like 1 a.m. near closing time, and they would get all bent out of shape if you didn't have the particular kind of malt liquor. People are very... I didn't realize this, because I'm not the drinking type. So it's all the better, by the way, that I have a big can of Four Loko. And the can is huge, by the way. It's like the size of my arm. But people were very particular and I guess are very, very preferential to certain kind that they latch on to a kind of malt liquor and it's like that's their brand. It's just very much like cigarettes, I think. But guys would come in and the thing in Southern California was King Cobra. So guys would walk in and they'd say, hey, you got the King Cobra? And I'd say either like yes back there or I'd say like no, we're out. And if we were out, it was like they would look at me like they had come earlier to look at a puppy at the shelter, and while they were gone, I'd sold it to a McDonald's, to be made into fillets. And they would look at me just so hurt and angry, and I would say, like, what are you going to do? It's popular. And then they would leave, and I would see them. They wouldn't buy the other malt liquors that were all on the shelf. It's like they had to have that. So at this Thanksgiving party last year, we're talking about that, and somebody mentions Four Loko, and Aaron lifts up the can. He goes, Four Loko, the drink of champions. And they start rhapsodizing about it. There then follows about 45 seconds of conversation of everybody in the room roundly discussing how terrible it is, how awful it is, how it tastes like ass. It's awful. It's made of some weird, scurrilous, not readily identifiable chemical concoction. It's, you know, who would drink Four Loko? What kind of soulless human being with no respect for their body would possibly consume it? And at that moment, like the comic relief from the sitcom next door, Sarah Dillon comes into the room and you can hear her in the background going, "Oh my God, who brought Four Loko?" It is, I'll find it and bring it in. It is awesome. It's like, I could not have planned it better. I expected everything for, you know, everything for Ron Howard to go like, filmed in front of a live studio audience. I mean, it was like with pitch perfect timing. It was awesome. But I've never actually tried it. But I posted this thing on Facebook last night. I went to the Plaid Pantry. And it's like, there was, you know, I walk by it to get to the Viso cooler. And I, you know, and they've got huge signs, as you noted, these big signs. They're Four Loko, and they're like a foot high. And now that the government has decided that they're going to ban it, because they are assuredly going to ban it here. I mean, it seems like it's a matter of time before they just take it away from everybody. Now I just am possessed with this unholy desire to purchase it and to drink it, which is a thing I never wanted to do until they took it away from me. So,
well, I know that you're too responsible of a broadcaster to actually drink the Four Loko while, you know, we are on the air. You would not want to. But I knew somebody had to actually try the Four Loko to see if it lives up to its hype as a caffeinated alcohol beverage called Blackout in a Can, they say. So I purchased one of these, and I'm about to open the...
I might try some.
This is the fruit punch flavor.
All right, what is the other
one? This one is a cranberry lemonade.
Cranberry lemonade.
Which is, I figured, I actually got that one for you because I figured that was closest to a Viso flavor.
Really? Did you, is that what you told yourself? It's like a Viso.
It's kind of like Viso flavor. It's cranberry lemonade.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay, so I'm...
So wait, so this is, what is the flavor you are consuming right now?
I am consuming fruit punch because I thought maybe the fruit punch would taste better, like maybe it would...
Does it say on the side what fruits are in this alleged fruit punch? Like, is it...
Oh, you know, it's like, it's not actual fruit.
I'm not, but I'm saying, do they even...
It's Hawaiian
In other words, do they even lie?
I don't know.
Like, do they even say, like, containing the mixture? Because if you ever read the side of, like, Boone's Farm or something, it's great how they just, you know, through big smiling bright teeth and gleaming eyes and just with the thumb held skyward telling you that all is good, they just lie about that, about, like, a mixture of the finest fruit juices and liquors blended together in age. And it's like $1.99.
But if you look really closely, because it's, you know, fine print, if you look really closely, you see they spelled the word fruit, F-R-O-O-T, with a trademark.
Totally. Somebody's calling here, so don't drink that quite yet.
Oh.
Who might this be, sir, madam, as the case may be?
Hi, Rick. Hi, Don. It's Brock. I just wanted to let you know, Don, you have the perfect flavor of Four Loko there. That's the best one.
Oh, good.
Now, when you say it's the best flavor of Four Loko, is that, you know, like in
considering.
It's like in a relative sense?
Yes, yes. I mean, none of them are good, per se, but,
How many flavors of Four Loko are there, sir?
Oh, boy. I have seen maybe as many as 8. I don't think I've tried them all.
Yeah, there were like 6 at the convenience store where I was this morning. So.
Are people, let me ask you this, Brock, you sound like a man of the world. Are people partial, in your experience, to a particular flavor of Four Loko? In other words, like for me, for example, if I go to get the Viso and I drink Vigor, if the Vigor's gone, and I'll drink the Dynamo, but I don't really care for it. If they're, you know, I mean, not nearly as much. It's good, but I mean, you know, the Vigor's what I drink. If they're both gone, the Vigor and the Dynamo are both gone, well, then it's just like, then my whole day is thrown off, because then it's like I got to drink something that I consider a second-tier flavor.
Right.
Is that how it is with Four Loko?
Well, maybe so. I'm actually... But myself, I prefer a brand called Stack because it's a little bit cheaper and it doesn't have the caffeine in it.
A little bit cheaper, and it's called Spack?
Stack, yeah.
Stack.
Stack as in to stack up a series of bricks, not Spack like Spackle.
Right. Stack. Okay. Yeah, a stack of bands that you consume all at once.
My choice of doing the fruit punch was also based on the fact that I have had the Rockstar Energy drink in the fruit punch flavor, and it was actually pretty tasty because it manages.
I realize
the fruit punch actually manages to cover up a lot of the bitterness of the chemicals.
Because that's
things,
the whole point with this, right? It's just it's like ketchup on a poorly cooked fettuccine. You're just there trying to cover it up. You're not augmenting or adding to anything. You are merely obscuring. So she's got the fruit punch. I myself have got the cranberry lemonade, which it says on the side has natural flavors. By the way, the government warning on this thing is massive. I mean, it's huge. It takes up like a third of the can. What do you think about the cranberry lemonade flavor for Loco, sir?
I don't think I've ever had. I think I may have had just the lemonade on its own, but is that like the neon camouflage?
Yes, that's exactly what it looks like. It is like a red and yellow camouflage pattern.
If you were hiding inside of a Spencer's.
Yeah, it's, you know, can I just tell you, by the way, they helpfully put around the lip at the top, contains alcohol, in big letters.
Good to know.
Yeah, just in case
you
weren't
clear.
All right, so you, what do you anticipate Dawn's reaction to consuming this Four Loko will be? Do you think she will enjoy, dislike, or be indifferent to its taste, sir?
I think she's going to dislike it. I think that's probably the natural reaction everyone has.
All right. How much are you going to drink of that for your first? I mean, are you going to sip or are you going to take a gulp? Are you going to take a good, like, you know, like a strong, confident swig?
I figured I'd just take the usual Viso-sized swig.
Okay. All right. So you should smell it first.
Smell it. It actually smells okay.
Don't smell it. Don't smell it. No.
No, it smells like fruit punch.
No, see, Brock says not to smell. Is that because it's misleading, sir? Let me ask you this, Brock. Just because I'm trying to drag this out as long as possible. To what degree does the smell of Four Loko bear any similarity to its taste, or are they two totally different things?
I think they're completely divorced from each other.
All right.
It's a wicked road to ride down. That's all I probably should say.
The Stack malt liquor that you consume, is that the same size can?
It is, yeah.
Is it the same alcohol content? Is it the 12%?
12%, yeah. It's just a quick ticket to happiness.
Do you share the assessment that Four Loko, or in your case, sir, Stack, that it is in fact like drinking an entire six-pack at once?
You know, I'm not sure I've ever drank an entire six-pack at once. I would say it probably is. I mean, it's pretty similar. It's going to be deep beer with low alcohol content.
You know what we should do, Don, is we should get two people later this week, give one of them a Four Loko and one of them a six-pack, and make them each drink it.
There we go.
Say, you, sir, drink the six-pack. You there, drink the Four Loko. And then, you know, and then we just give them some sort of... And then the next day they can come back and they can reverse it, you know, for science.
You know, we know people who would do that happily.
Yes, yes, we do. We know people.
I would happily participate in that survey.
Really? Excellent. Okay, I will. We'll keep under advisement. All right, Dawn, you should go ahead and you should consume some of that Four Loko.
Okay. I'm telling folks on the Facebook right now that I'm about to start drinking a Four Loko.
Immediately after doing that, then you should tell us what today's headlines are going to be. Like,
okay.
Drink, swallow, and then go right to the here's today's headlines. It's tempting just to make you keep speaking and then just to see if it has any sort of, you know, effect on you. But, okay, go ahead.
All right. Here we go. Oh. So,
yep.
A man says no to the TSA groin groping. New York joins the list of states banning Four Loko. And awesome mugshot guy Mark Sieber Morgan appears in court.
All right, where would you place that? One being it's fantastic, and 10 being no, I'm doing this backward. 10 being it's fantastic, one being it's the worst thing you've ever tasted. Where would you rank Four Loko?
I'd put it about a 4.
Really?
I've tasted far worse things, but I will say it is really super medicinal.
Yeah.
It's like if you ever, like, you know, you go to take a pill and you accidentally don't take it fast enough.
Or you chew it or it dissolves.
Yeah, so it dissolves in your mouth.
Yeah.
So it's that taste mixed with...
Like a cough syrup kind of a... Yeah.
With fruit punch. And then after you swallow, it kind of burns. Like right around here. Right around the...
Awesome. Right where your soul is.
The solar plexus.
That's handy. Okay.
It's almost as fun as NyQuil.
Excellent.
Wow,
All right, thank you, Brock. All right, there you go. There's that guy. There's Brock.
It is kind of a NyQuil sort of experience.
Well,
really
because,
is.
The thing is, NyQuil, I think, only has 6.5% alcohol now. I think NyQuil has less than 10%. I don't think you can really... You can't really get your drink on with NyQuil the way you...
Right. That is awful.
Yeah, it doesn't look like you're enjoying it much.
No,
here's the thing is,
I am committed to drinking this.
Wow. That's really...
I want to find out if it will do to me what they...
What would a six-pack do to you? If you were to drink a six-pack over the course of, like, an hour or something, what effect would that have on you, do you think? Would you fall over? Would you be able to stand? I don't know how drunk, you know, anybody can get before they get, you know...
I don't... Oh, God, if I drink a six-pack in an hour, I'd probably just get ill. I mean...
You just hack it back up?
Yeah. The thing is that I generally tend to hold my liquor really well. So, you know, I can be fairly drunk and not be acting horrifically, you know, screwed up. So, but this is like, you know, and I don't believe for a minute that it's like the equivalent of a six pack. Although the thing of them saying it has the same alcohol as four beers, I could maybe kind of buy that.
But through math, though, we should be able to figure this out, right? What percentage is your average beer? What percent alcohol is your run-of-the-mill beer?
I have no idea.
I mean, like in Utah, it's 3.2, but it's not 3.2 here. It's like, you know, it's somewhere between like 3.6 and 5, right? So let's say it's 4. Let's say your average beer is 4% alcohol. If your beer is 12... Oh, I'm getting it over my head. You all know what I'm trying to do, though. But if a beer is like 12 ounces, let's say, and if it's 4% alcohol, then we should be able to figure out how many you know, what amount of alcohol that is. If this Four Loko is 23.5 ounces, fluid ounces, and it's 12% alcohol, so this is basically, this is around 2.4 pure ounces of alcohol. So we should be able to figure out whether that's the same as a six-pack or not. That just seems like that is just some adding and subtracting and possibly some other thing.
I'm terrible at math under the best of circumstances.
And now, what with your drunkenness? You know, that's just going to get worse. You're listening to the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Coming up later on, we'll talk to Mr. Aaron Duran, actually, just a few minutes. He'll have some thoughts on the Four Loko. The thing is, you just keep drinking. By the way, just I wish that everybody was here to watch this, because you know what you are right now? You are like Sarah T., Portrait of a Teenage Alcoholic. You are how alcoholism happens. And I don't mean that in an insulting way, but it's like nature is telling you not to keep... nature's like, look, this tastes like... Mm-hmm. Can we just be... I don't mean to be crude. This just tastes like whiz. You're just drinking what tastes like pain, just like pain and thorns. And yet, you're like, ah, oh, it's awful. And then a second later, down it goes.
I'm doing this in the interest of science. I'm doing this for the listeners. I'm going to find out. I'm going to find out what effect the Four Loko has on me as I drink it during the course of the next hour.
And let me just tell you that I don't really do me the drinking, because I had some. I learned early on that drinking was not really for me. We'll talk to Aaron Duran here in just one second. He's on hold there. But I learned early on that when I was like maybe 19 that I handled my alcohol poorly. I mean, it might have been the circumstances under which I was consuming it, but I, you know, and I had enough of a... That bit me pretty hard the first time or two, and I was like, ooh, I'm not going to do that anymore. And the thing is, I don't know what it is, but then I just dated like a series of drunks for some reason, despite my claim that I was not going to, and then I just did. You know, and I got to tell you, look, here's the thing about my wife is I really do love her, and she's great, and she's smart, and she's funny, and she whatever. Honey, I love you if you're listening. My wife, she's just like a flyweight. She can't hold her booze, like, at all. And I can tell you, there's something really hot about a chick who can hold her booze. You know, a girl who can drink a lot and not just, like, you know, not just spill the tamales and then pass out. There's something sexy about that. My wife cannot.
I can also chuck beer.
Yeah, she can't. We went to Roger Klein on Friday, which was awesome, by the way. Listener Jenny was there. Also, her husband Adam. Also, listener Ken was there. Listener Brian as well. Also, a guy who met me at the end of the night, and I was my ears were ringing a little bit. I think his name is John, so I apologize for that. You know, but it's like, well, she's not drinking a lot. I mean, she's drinking. I mean, could we just say it? She's just drinking Corona, which, as I understand it, is not like even real beer.
Yeah.
And so she gets home, and she does that whole thing of like, I need to freshen up. And I'm like, I know what that means. You know, and I wish for her to feel awkward. So we get home from Roger Klein on Friday. Laura's like, I got to freshen up. I'm like, all right. So I duck into the home office, which is adjacent to our bathroom. And I go to the stereo to immediately turn up. But it was not quite early enough. And it's like, you know, I go to turn that, and I hear the, you know, and it's just like, and it's that thing where, like, I'm not trying to be gross, but where you just wonder. It's like the inverse of the crate episode of Creepshow, where Hal Holbrook says, like, how much stuff can fit in there? You just, you know, how many people can go inside that crate? You wonder what if she has like some sort of a camel pouch or something where she just keeps things just to be vomited up later.
Yeah.
It was like, I mean, I'm saying for me, for my estimation, and I was sober, by the way, I'm saying it was like 6 or 7 good waterfalling kind of hurls. And I mean, I wonder if she was actually like stopping to refill just so she'd be able to vomit more.
Yeah, that's why I don't do shots of tequila anymore.
Yeah.
Was because the last time I did that, I was really depressed and in a bad mood, and a friend brought
tequila
over some tequila.
Fix this.
And I started drinking the tequila, and we had that moment that happens sometimes where my husband said, you know, Don, maybe you might want to slow down there. And I responded with the old, you don't get to tell me what to do.
Yeah.
I'm fine! And I just kept... And then eventually he went upstairs and went to bed, and I went into the bathroom, and there was just, like, you know, projectile vomiting, like, all over the place. It was just horrible. And ever since, I was like, I don't think I'm going to do the shots of tequila again.
You're listening to the best of the Rick Emerson Show. We return tomorrow with a brand new program. This is the Emerson News Network.
Do this. It's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Radio Program. From... How are you feeling over there?
I'm feeling good. It just, it's been a long time since I had breakfast.
Yeah.
So it's like, it hits my, just this part, like just the top of my stomach.
Would you like some?
And there's just this heat.
How about some Eggs Benedict? Okay. I'll ask you again later. It'll be funnier then. Yeah. All right. Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show from geekinthecity.com, Mr. Aaron Duran and the Weekend Geek. Hello, sir.
Hello, how's it going in there?
Well, you know what? My Four Loko is still sealed, and I'm feeling the full effects of the caffeine I ingested earlier. So
Open it.
I'm bright-eyed.
Wait, are you actually going to drink a Four Loko?
No, I am.
You are.
Don't start to get sassy with me. You're not even a third of the way into the can. You got to save the sass until later. This is going to how it's be. I'll have you put down right now, like a. I'll have you put down right now, like a sick zebra. Dawn is, here's the thing about, okay, can I just tell you this? This is when the Malcolm McLaren part of me really comes out. You know what they ought to manufacture? And it would get taken off the market almost immediately, but you'd be able to make some money with it before they did so. Here's what they ought to manufacture. There is some horrible, amoral part of me that wants to sell a Four Loko or Four Loko-like equivalent, but with, like, a clear stripe down the side of the can so you can see the alcohol level left inside, which makes it easier to competitively drink with your friends.
Oh, nice.
To have, like, a who-can-put-it-down-first contest. Because right now, I would need some sort of dipstick or something. I can't tell. How much of the can do you think is gone, Don?
About that much. I've had about 2 inches.
So that's like a fifth of the can, maybe 20% of the can. She's consumed about 20% of this full-size Four Loko can.
I can tell you, a true Loko fan can tell how much is left by the weight in his can.
Okay. Well,
it's still pretty heavy.
By the it's weighted down by the beer cozy that says funemploymentradio.com, unsurprisingly. So, what is your
That's not shame, Don. It's not going to cover the shame.
What is your favorite flavor of Four Loko, sir?
Oh man, really? It all kind of depends on my mood. But my favorite flavor, I think I got to go with kind of the classic lemonade.
Yeah, no, I got the the cranberry lemonade right here. That's what Dawn purchased for me.
That's the good one. If you really want to class it up, on Sunday morning you can mix that with orange juice and have a sad mosa.
Awesome. Good times. Sitting there pondering the wreckage of your ruined life.
A sad mosa.
Listening to a Willie Nelson box set. What are you doing over there inside your bag?
I'm just fixing a broken fingernail. Just carry on.
You're fixing a broken fingernail inside your bag.
I didn't want you to know what I was doing.
Is this really because let me ask you this. Is fixing Dawn's hands are both inside this like bike messenger bag and you're rooting around and you claim it's a fingernail.
Nail glue.
Look, I'm just saying.
Fingernail.
Okay, look, I'm just saying if there was going to be some sort of medication mixing with the Four Loko, you can tell me that. God. It's not like I passed judgment.
Well, there is cuz I took some earlier cuz I tripped and fell down and hurt my knee.
Please tell me it was a Vicodin.
It was.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's the best promo ever.
What is going on in the world of geekery, Aaron Duran?
Well, what's happening right now, the big thing, I don't even know if you guys touched on it yet, is that Facebook is going to be invading even more of your privacies as they are basically going to absorb and take over all of your emails.
I don't understand. Oh, is this because they're launching like their competitor with Gmail or something?
Yeah, they're trying to compete with Gmail, but they're going to set it up to where they will be able to basically isolate and funnel in every single email account that you own if you want and have it work as one giant messaging service.
Yeah, I don't think I want
that. That's going
to
end well.
Yeah, I think that's a thing that I'll pass on. Didn't Google themselves try to do something like that not too long ago? They were trying to do like a – I don't know. Like it was one of those Google projects you heard about for like a week and then it went away. It was like Google Wave or Buzz or Morph or –
Yeah, it was Google Wave. I remember getting multiple invites from friends saying, "You gotta try this."
Yeah.
And then about 6 months later, like no one talked about it anymore. So
yeah. So I mean, which is maybe that's because people just think of Google as the search engine service primarily. Whereas with Facebook, the thing about Facebook is they're kind of boiling the frog slow there because you're already used to the fact that they have just. They handle so many aspects of what you do. I mean, they're basically your Twitter feed in some ways because you got the instant, you put the update that goes on everybody's live feed. They handle your photos. They handle your events. You can post video. You can post music. I mean, so really, and you can message people and you can instant message. So the email is just one, I mean, it really is just like one degree away from where they are now.
Yeah, the creepy thing is you can even tie it into, like, your Xbox account. So you're playing Call of Duty Black Ops, and if you just scored, most headshots, achievement rating, it'll pop up on your feed. Like, Rick Emerson has just scored his 18th kill.
Let me just ask you this. Do you have this fear that I do? If you have multiple browser tabs open at the same time, one of them is Facebook and the other one is Well, porn. Like, are you ever? Are you ever weirded out somehow by the idea that it might somehow just be like? Do you ever develop the totally irrational and paranoid fear that there is like a ticker somewhere displaying like whatever URL you were going to?
Aaron Duran is looking at midget DP.
No, seriously, I think about that a lot, actually, where it's like you're like at meatstick.com or something, and it's like you're just thinking like, has this somehow gone to my status update? You know, like rickemerson.com is looking at, you know, askforass.com.
Yeah,
you know,
there is no fear. I can almost guarantee it's happening. The same reason why I completely understand why people tape up all their webcams.
Yeah, Sarah like Dillon does that.
Yeah, because it is watching you. It's understanding everything, and it's capturing every little slice of shame that you've ever done in front of your monitor, of
Excellent.
Which we've done a lot.
What else is happening in Nerdonia?
The other big thing that is happening this weekend, Sunday, November 20th, from 7 p.m. till midnight at the Melody Ballroom, is the Swashbucklers Ball. This is a benefit to help raise money for next year's Portland Pirate Festival. Because even though it was, for all intents and purposes, a very successful pirate festival, there was that really crappy weather over the weekend.
It rained all day, all night. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. Like it turned, you know, it turned Cathedral Park, you know, into the Pacific Ocean. In my protected opinion here, the city were dicks, and they made the Portland Pirate Festival pay for a complete reseeding of the park.
Seriously?
Really? That blows.
Yeah, because
ridiculous.
The weather was bad and people were, you know, walking in a park. Good timing with the city of Portland in that they didn't have to pay for complete turf recovering and reseeding of Cathedral Park because
that
the Pirates
sucks,
did that weekend.
Because they could say that it was the Pirate Festival that did it, when if the grass had been dry, then if the ground had been dry, it wouldn't have caused that much damage.
Yeah, exactly. So even though it was a successful festival, they got hit with thousands and thousands, perhaps even tens of thousands of dollars worth of bills.
Wow.
They then spent the next week actually reseeding the entire park. And so now, though, they're kind of behind the eight ball in raising funds. So the Swashbucklers Ball is all about trying to raise funds for the Portland Pirate Festival.
Excellent.
It's gonna be really cool. There's going to be a lot of local bands there, a lot of local businesses. The Melody Ballroom. The Melody Ballroom. They are donating their entire site, services, and menu for free. They're not charging them anything.
Awesome.
So you can find out more at swashbucklersball.com.
Fantastic. Have you mentioned your comic book? Is there anything else?
Right now, in fact, I am 1 week away from getting a little over 300 copies of my pending comic book printed up, which is both exciting and completely horrifying because for years I had been the loudmouth geek commenting about how much somebody's book sucks, and now it's my turn.
So you are Rob Gordon at the end of High Fidelity, where you gotta produce and put out your own record, so you can be mercilessly judged guys perched behind a keyboard waiting to be hypercritical of your every written syllable.
Exactly. So, yeah, I'll be putting the book out there. It's going to come out the first week of December. It's going to be in local comic book shops.
Awesome. Fantastic. Hey, you don't have the Xbox, right? You guys roll with the Wii at Casa Duran.
Well, actually, we've got all three systems because we're nerds.
Do you have the – what's the word on that Kinect thing? That because Lara's also just – God love her, but she really is like an early adopter of things that I tell her not to adopt early on, such as Microsoft products, where you got to wait like five generations for anything they make to be good. But she's all about like the Xbox Kinect. What is the advanced word on that?
Don't. That it's bad. It doesn't work very well. Even the games that are released with it right now aren't very good. I actually have a couple friends at work at the Xbox call-in line, and it's going to stick around, like, because, you know, Microsoft isn't going to pull the cord on it because they've put so much money into R&D on it.
Right.
But right now, it is deeply, deeply flawed. they're actually doing some really humorous spin right now. The Kinect is all – it requires light. It's not an infrared system. The cameras require a pretty decent amount of light to scan all your various, you know, facial movements and body movements to control the games. But not many gamers are known for playing in brightly lit rooms. So what's happening is if you happen to have a skin tone that might absorb light better than a pasty white, the Kinect doesn't know you're there.
So if you're,
which has led to basically African Americans calling in saying, "How come Xbox doesn't like black people?"
So this is just like. This is like, well, there was this episode of Better Off Ted, which then happened in real life with like the HP, that HP computer, I think. There was this episode of Better Off Ted where to try to cut down, which Cheryl introduced me to, which to try to save money at the company, everything was sort of like motion activated or like, you know, whatever. And like, you know, and so I swear to God, this is Better Off Ted, which is a really, really great program. You know, it's like the doors and the paper towel display, everything is motion activated. And of course, it can't see any of the black employees. And so, and among the motion-activated devices is the water fountain, which then leads to creating a, yes, blacks-only water fountain at the office. And it's just, but that was like a year before the thing happened with the HP, where they released the computer. I couldn't see the guy.
Well, then they assigned white people to follow the black people around so they could, like, actually activate the doors of things
God
for
damn.
Them.
You know, you
would... Yes, I mean, like, in their defense, they didn't do it on purpose, because, of course, like, when you're doing all the testing and all the videos, you have as much light as possible to get good image testing. So they never once thought if someone just kind of turns on their little tiny desk lamp and plays in their, you know, their TV room, whatever, and they happen to have darker complexion, the Kinect isn't going to realize that anyone is in the room.
You know, it just must be one of those that you turn it on, you plug it in, you get all set up, and you're like, all right, it just, you know. And then there's that moment of realization, you know, that instant of clarity where you're like, well, it just doesn't seem to. You know, just the head hangs, just sort of
exactly. That's kind of what they're doing with now. The spin is like, well, Kinect requires a rather substantial amount of light.
Okay, excellent. All right, Aaron Durant, you can find out more about him and his upcoming comic at geekinthecity.com. Geekinthecity.com, and also this afternoon on Fun Employment Radio with Greg Nibbler and Sarah X. Dillon. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
There you go, Aaron Durant, ladies and gentlemen.
You're listening to the best of the Rick Emerson Show. We return tomorrow with a brand new program. This is the Emerson News Network.
Step for a loco treating over there.
It was a real...
And now, from the news desk, this is Dawn Taylor.
It does have a real kick to it. I had posted about doing this on the Facebook.
Uh-huh.
And John Chandler, who was a colleague of mine when I was at Portland Tribune, he now writes for Portland Monthly, he popped up to link to a piece he has today on Portland Monthly magazine's website, on his blog, where he tried Four Loko. And he describes it, he says, on Saturday night, I cowboyed up and took two swigs of my recently purchased can of lemon-lime Four Loko. I figured it was going to be disgusting, but I wasn't prepared for the unfathomable depths of vile awfulness. It was like some hideous off-brand lemon-lime powdered drink from the dollar store with a few extra pounds of sugar thrown in to unsuccessfully camouflage the flavor of grain alcohol infused with laundry detergent.
Yeah, it's almost hard to believe I haven't opened this can over here. this text box appears via Skype. Our username, by the way, is Rick Emerson Show. That is Rick Emerson Show at Skype. Just says, all caps, wow, she's roasted. Now, I got to tell you, you don't sound that drunk to me.
No.
I think I can tell you've been drinking a little bit.
Yeah, I'm ever so slightly warmed up.
You're a little sibilant at the moment. I wouldn't say you... I'll put it this way. Whether you are, in fact, actually drunk, you don't sound as drunk as you might be. I think you sound like maybe a 2 out of 10.
Yeah, I have been this toasty on the air here before just from doing a shot of whiskey or something.
I was here. All right.
So there you go.
There is Dawn Taylor, ladies and gentlefolk.
Well, an update on our friend Mark Sieben Morgan, the man who police say was involved in a one-man crime spree in Milwaukee. He made his first court appearance on Friday afternoon. Sieben Morgan, 46, was indicted by a grand jury on Friday on charges of criminal mischief, assault, menacing, and harassment. Milwaukee police say Sieben Morgan was involved in assault and vandalism near downtown Milwaukee on October 21st. First, he... reportedly shoved a man at a TriMet bus mall and then jumped up and down on the hood of a parked car while the driver was inside, flexing his muscles and kicking in the windshield. Less than an hour later, he jumped out of the bushes at a woman at Milwaukee Marketplace and then threw rocks at her. Sieben Morgan was loud and obnoxious while appearing on closed circuit television in the Clackamas County Court. And here he is, a little bit of audio of him from his appearance.
Ladies and gentlemen, one man crime wave, Mark Sieben Morgan.
Sir, are you Mr. Sieben Morgan?
Sieben Morgan, sir.
Okay, where is he right now? Is he like the judge is in the courtroom, and he's like over an intercom or something, or is he like behind glass in a holding tank?
He's
or something?
In court, but I believe the TV station recorded this off of the closed circuit television that they were watching. They weren't actually in the courtroom. Okay. They were watching him via closed circuit TV.
I was just picturing one of those things where like he was considered so dangerous they just had him in one of those like Hannibal Lecter, you know, like cages. All right.
Sir, are you Mr. Simon Morgan?
You, huh? Ben Morgan, sir. See Ben Morgan, G-E-N, as in E-N versus A-N, sir.
Your attorney is Mr. Noss, is that correct?
And he kicks Gluteus Maximus, sir.
That's awesome. I wonder if he knew... Like, if he knew he was on camera, and so he was sort of playing it for the camera, or if this is just, like, his natural state.
I don't know if he was playing it up for the camera, but he didn't know he was on camera, because if you go to KPTV or KGW or wherever, where they have the video, he is looking directly into the camera at times and flexing his muscles and making faces. And there's one of those big medallions on the wall behind him to show that he's in Clackamas County Court.
Right.
And he's pointing at it and mugging for the camera. So.
That's awesome. I mean, I like a guy who really just, look, if you're going to do something, you do it 100%, you know? I mean, you do it full on. You go all out.
Yeah.
Well done, Mark Stephen Morgan.
And there is a photo on rickemerson.com of him sitting on the witness stand.
If you go to rickemerson.com/pictures, that is visual aids for November 15th, 2010. November 15th, 2010. Here is Don Taylor.
Well, the flow of Four Loko into New York is being shut down.
Your F's are going a little bit there.
The state liquor authority has pressured the state's biggest beer distributors to stop delivering Four Loko and the other caffeinated alcoholic cocktails to New York retails by December 10th. And the maker of the sweet but potent beverage has agreed to stop shipping its wildly popular drink to New York distributors after November 19th. The dual agreements will allow the liquor authority to fine any shop owners found to be selling Four Loko without proof that it was ordered by the deadline. Jason Freeman, co-founder of Fusion Products, the company that produces Four Loko, gave a tepid endorsement of the agreement. He said, "We think it shows that we are not turning a deaf ear to what's going on, that a select few have chosen to abuse our products, drink them while underage, or break the law and sell them to minors." A 23.5 ounce can of Four Loko ostensibly contains the amount of alcohol in three cans of beer. This one says three cans of beer.
Well, see, because
they keep scaling it down.
But that's
six cans of beer, then four cans.
But I don't think
three.
That's right either, because if it was three cans of beer, that is three cans of beer would be 36 ounces, and it would be.
And I got to say, I'm about a third of the way into the Four Loko, which would put me like one beer in. And I believe this is stronger than one beer. This is more than one beer's worth of alcohol, judging from my own response I'm having right now.
Let's see. So somebody is trying to figure out the amount of alcohol in like a six pack or in a single beer as contrasted with. Well, you looked like it was going to reverse on you there for a second.
You know the thing. Sometimes you taste something and it is bad, but then like. The flavor they mix it with kicks in at the end, so the aftertaste is pleasant. This is the exact opposite. You put it in your mouth and you go, fruit punch. And then you swallow, and then it just gets worse and worse and worse after you swallow.
It's like a time release, but the time is only like 0.3 seconds.
Seriously, you want to taste it?
No, I don't. Less than you can possibly. No, I'm fine. So it's a little bit like you're drinking tonic water, where you go, oh, that's great. Oh, God, I want to vomit, you know?
It's like I'm drinking Hawaiian punch, and then after I swallow it, somebody melts an aspirin on my tongue.
It's a guy just punching you in the epiglottis when you drink. Somebody says, somebody's okay. I've got my, somebody, I think it's a figurative slide rule. Somebody says, got my slide rule out now, trying to figure out exactly how much alcohol she is ingesting. Let's see. Here we go. If I did the math right, a six pack at 5%, which is what we're guessing, because like in Utah, it's 3.2 and other places, it's like 5.5. So a six pack at 5% would have 3.5 ounces of straight alcohol. At 12% alcohol, this would have around 2.4. So theoretically, this actually has less alcohol than a six-pack. So this would have around – so this would be basically like four beers. This is the equivalent of four beers. But I get the theory.
I would
is
imagine,
that,
though, the fact that it also has like a whole lot of caffeine in it, though, just pumps it straight into your bloodstream a lot faster.
Is it carbonated?
And it is carbonated.
See, so it's carbonated, which I do believe actually aids in the you know the things going into your bloodstream. On the other.
I'm sorry.
Was that a belch?
Yes.
Okay,
it's
fine.
It is carbonated.
No, I'm just trying. Because the thing about the carbonation is the carbonation, though, that works both ways. I think if I remember reading somewhere that if it was carbonated, that it does speed the transmission of alcohol. But that could be an old wives' tale. On the other hand, the carbonation stems the speed with which you will drink it.
Mm.
Because it, you know, because it burns a little too much. Although I guess if you're drinking Four Loko, that ship has
yeah,
sunk.
Burning is obviously not an issue for you.
Because that's the thing with Viso. It's like it's not carbonated. And so you can put down an entire Viso and look and go, oh, my God. What? And then you just have, like, the impending horror of, like, you're going to be punching people later on. So here's the thing about this guy at the Fusion company. Perfusion.
Perfusion.
I understand that the government's trying to legislate his business out of existence, and it sucks. I'm not trying to make light of that. I'm not trying to be flip about it. I mean, and it really does, if I can just be however serious for just a moment, it really does piss me off. Because, oh, you know what I can do? Hold on. Wait a minute. Hold on. You know what Rick Emerson can do? I'm going to activate smugness. Hold on a second. Hold on. Activating smugness now. You know, Don, as a business owner, I find that this really offends me. You know, America is based, Don, on capitalism. It's based on supply and demand and of, you know, giving the public what the public will pay for at a price that the market can bear. And I resent our tax dollars being used to drive this poor fellow out of business. All of which is true, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe he's a good guy. Maybe he's not. But you got to figure, I don't know whether he founded the company or not, but somebody founded the company. Somebody decided, like, hey, I'm going to sell some crap to idiots. And you know what? The idiots bought it. And this is what America really is about at its core. If you can just peddle some crap to people and just swindle them out of their cash, you know, and instead what are you going to give them? Cirrhosis. Well, okay, you know, great.
And it's legal. It falls within all of the laws of alcohol levels for a beverage. And
it's just him. That's the other thing. It's not even like it's God bless Brock, but Brock is drinking something that is fundamentally the same, and it's just the Four Loko guy.
Oh, yeah, there's other stuff on the shelf. When I bought this stuff this morning, there's other stuff on the shelf. There's something called Juice, J-O-O-S-E, and there's other brands of this same thing. It's just that because a bunch of college students got super sick and it got into the press doing the Four Loko, now Four Loko is the subject of this of the media thing that is going to last for a few weeks until they latch onto something.
Well,
but he's making an ass load of money.
I hope he's saving it though.
If he's smart, he'll just turn around and, you know, use the money he's making while people like stock up on Four Loko before it goes out of business and it's getting all this press, and then he'll just make some new product.
I hope that he's saving
to make money.
I hope he's making money. I mean, I hope it's not. I mean, because on the one hand, it's like they're returning his stuff and he's got to pay to recall the inventory, and he's probably got advertising that's non-refundable that's not going to do him any good because he can't sell it in the places where he advertised. So he probably is out an ass load of money too. You got to imagine this. Also, think about this. He probably has already purchased. I mean, again, I don't know what level of involvement this guy actually has, but you got to figure that the company, Fusion, they have already contracted to make or actually made a lot of the stuff that they probably won't be able to use, no matter how much they sell, because it's being legislated out of existence. So I hope he makes money. So I understand it's serious for this guy. On the other hand, don't you wish that just once, with one of these guys at a company that gets screwed with by the government, that they would just buy, you know, like 2 minutes of advertising, or just take on an ad in USA Today, or just get on the internet and like send out a Twitter to like the world saying like Four Loko will address planet Earth at noon, and then you know, and just say like, hey, I sell Four Loko, and the man is like sticking it to me, and you know, I am unfairly being routed out of business because of the activities of a bunch of blue hairs and tight asses. So here's the thing: you got to go buy it all right now. And you got to get me as much money as possible so that I can, so I can weather the screwing that the government is giving to me over a thing you like.
Well, the big problem with it also is that whenever you get into a story like this, what happens is you get into the next layer of the story and they start admitting that, well, the real problem is that these mom and pop stores sell to minors. And So this isn't really the fault of the guy who's manufacturing the product, which is legal and which is ostensibly only to be sold to those of drinking age. The problem is that it's being sold to minors. And but they, you know, rather than actually, you know, whatever, go after the store owners, and they do to a certain degree go after the store owners, but to a certain degree it's like it's easier to go after the guy who's making the product. It's like it's easier to go after the people who make the fortified wines and say, you know, we've got to like ban fortified wine, because you can't stop people from selling it to people who are already inebriated or who are underage. But that's really actually where the fault lies, not with the manufacturer of the product itself.
But I'm just saying, like, don't you wish that once just one of these guys would just, like, go out in a blaze of glory? I mean, because and you understand what's happening right now in the company's boardroom. Like, the Four Loko guy is there.
Yeah,
and we're talking, like, we're broadcasting from inside a hurricane, and it's like the end of the world. But I mean, but it's a big ongoing story, and it pisses me off. Yeah. You get the guy sitting there at his business. And he's looking at, you know, the news and the newspapers and the charts, and he's seen that the government is trying to screw him. And he's thinking, rationally, I guess, or maybe understandably so, like, I will thread this needle. I will say the appropriate things. I'll take it off the shelf. And I'll weather the storm, and I'll be able to make some money. He does not see what we all see, which is that he is hosed. He is done, and the government's not going to stop until he's out of business. And so I just wish once that one of these guys would see the writing on the wall, say, like, the jig is up, that's it, and just put on a pirate hat and stand on top of his building, you know, with a bullhorn, and just say, like, people of Earth, this is Four Loko. We lead the charge now. And just, you know, and just say, like, by the end of the day, I want every can sold and consumed. Go. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, look, if you're going to get screwed, you know, you go
get
down swinging.
Just have big Four Loko festivals in their town.
Yeah.
Everybody gathering in public parks and drinking can after can of Four Loko.
Celebrate National Four Loko Consumption Day.
Now, they do have, in this story, there is something that is both horrible and kind of hilarious, and then horrible again, that apparently the Four Loko leapt into the spotlight in New York last month after members of a Bronx gang forced a victim to drink 10 cans.
Ooh.
Before beating him mercilessly in what they describe as a gay bias attack.
It seems like the beating is redundant at that point.
Yeah.
His insides have already been beaten, I would imagine, to death.
Yeah.
Do we know that that's true?
How could you
force a guy to drink 10 cans of this when I'm imagining
having trouble getting through one.
Yeah, it's like it has nothing to do with even the force. I would imagine you wouldn't even have the physical ability to swallow and to digest them. I mean, unless you gave it to him intravenously.
Mm.
I don't think a guy would actually stay conscious and aware and able long enough to consume 10 cans of this. I call a little bit of BS on that. I'm not saying it didn't happen, but I'm saying that sounds very much like a thing that happened in some very incremental, like, scaled-down fashion that has now been inflated as another, like, here's why it's an evil product kind of a thing. This is they would have you believe that every inner-city youth in the 80s was being gunned down for Michael Jordan shoes, you know,
yeah.
Which didn't, you know, wasn't like a thing that really happened all that often. All right. On a scale of 1 to 5, how intoxicated would you say you are as opposed to how you sound? Inside, how drunk is Don?
1 to 5? 1.5.
Okay, I was going to say 1.5 as well.
Still pretty low.
All right. Let's do one more. We'll take a break. Still to come. Oh, we got the Walking Dead recap. I keep forgetting to pimp that. We got the Walking Dead recap. Don and I are both still unfinished with Boardwalk Empire. So tomorrow we'll talk Boardwalk Empire and Dexter. Later on this hour, though, we'll talk Walking Dead. Later on, we got your Clergy Watch. We got your Top 5. And Don will – are you halfway done with the can, would you say?
I don't even think I'm quite halfway done with the can, but I have to say I am noticeably –
there's a little feathering going on with your speech right now, yeah.
Yeah. No, this stuff's got – I have to say Four Loko has one hell of a kick to it.
Truth in advertising.
Of course, the fact that I got some Vicodin in my system probably is contributing to that as well. So.
Lucky dog. Here's Don Taylor.
Diners dropped more money at Applebee's and Olive Garden over the past several months than they did last year, the Financial Times report. Shut up!
Win! Oh, I gotta get a sounder for that. Hold on. Let's just see. Hold on. Just don't you move. We're gonna get before you progress with this story. we're gonna get a little. Wow, was that a stifled belch, or was that just the noise your body makes sometimes?
That was a little laughter.
Really?
This is, by the way, proof that if you go back and you watch me at the Thanksgiving thing that you videotaped last year, when Sarah Dillon starts to be going, Don Taylor's drunk. I totally wasn't. And you can tell, just compare that to how I'm talking now, and you can tell that last Thanksgiving, that drunk.
All right, let me just let me
no,
see
it just suddenly,
will,
just all of a sudden, in the last 30 seconds, just hit me like a ton of bricks.
Yes, yes, I would say that that's true. I would not disagree. How are you feeling right now? How would you gauge your?
I'm warm and fuzzy.
All right. Okay, so we'll just from now on, whenever you are demonstrably drunk, we'll just give it a little bit of a. I was gonna do.
It's a drinking game. Drink along with me whenever I screw up. You can. Yeah.
Here's Don Taylor.
Okay, so diners dropped more money at Applebee's and Olive Garden over the past several months than they did last year, suggesting that consumers are becoming more confident about the future of the economy. According to a new report, sales at casual dining establishments, defined as chain restaurants with sit-down service and waiters, went up last October for the fourth month in a row, increasing 0.9% from 2009 sales. It means that people are more willing to spend on what they want as a lifestyle issue, said industry analyst Malcolm Knapp.
Here's the thing. I'm not even really listening to the story now. I'm just parsing every individual syllable as it leaves your mouth.
I'm doing just fine. Thank you very much.
You really are. You really are.
The findings come on the heels of positive reports about car sales, consumer spending, and slightly better than expected job growth. Economists say that while the news doesn't mean that the recession is ending, it does signal that people are more optimistic about future layoffs. Senior Lord Abbott economist Milton Esrati said, "The bloodletting has stopped."
What? Who? That doesn't. Is that a title or the name of a country?
Lord Abbott, I think, is some kind of a think tank for economy stuff.
Okay, all right.
He said the bloodletting has stopped, and that has helped people who have jobs feel more comfortable.
Okay, that was that's a little.
Yeah, yeah, right that was there. That was bad.
My alternate sound effect was right there.
Nah, see, that's not really.
All right.
No.
This is all true. By the way, somebody wants it. It's very important. They typed it twice in the text box. Bono's poop is 14 ounces. I don't know what that means. I don't know. Yeah, I got nothing. You were listening to the Rick Emerson radio program. I think it's like a holdover from last hour. We were talking about Bono, talking about the political prisoner that's freed. I don't really know.
Talking about his poop.
You know, maybe we were. We didn't know it. Maybe it was some sort of maybe this is like the guy that would show up in the lobby of KWJJ all the time because he was convinced that we were sending him secret messages, like directly to his fillings.
Really?
Yeah. No, radio stations get that all the time. Guys who show up in the lobby because they think – Lara told me the name for it one time. There's an actual name for that disorder where you hear media, usually electronic media, and you believe, that there are messages being broadcast directly to you go to a wooded area. And that it's like going into your teeth or into your braces or something or whatever.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's like the guy – yeah. So anyway. By the way, somebody says, new rule, Dawn must do every show under the influence of 4 Loko or perhaps even 5 Loko. This is awesome. Somebody else says this is worth 64 cents. Thank you, sir or madam.
That's why I'm here, to provide entertainment for the people.
Well, the beast must be fed. The people must be amused. Entertainment must be served. Later on, we're going to talk about Walking Dead. Walking Dead Episode 3. And I would say, for my money, I would say the best episode of the series so far last night. Last night, Season 1, Episode 3, Walking Dead. I'm just saying for me, Rick Emerson. I'm saying for me now, my opinion, best episode yet. So we'll talk about that. Later on, we got your Clergy Watch. Do your top 5 as well. And so forth. I had a whole bunch of stuff I was going to talk about. I had this whole thing I was going to mention with David Walker. Can I just tell you this? Here's something. I don't know whether this is funny or not. This might not be the best time to test you on whether it's funny, but then again, it might be the best time. There might be no better time. So David Walker was on Outlook Portland this morning. Him and a guy named Kurt Lloyd, and they do a web series, a web TV show called Missing Reel, which is quite good. MissingReel.tv, by the way, is where you can watch that. It's 15 minute television episodes where they don't even really do reviews, but they do. It is a plug. I was just going to say it's a good show. It's called Missing Reel. It's at MissingReel.tv. It is basically like our greatest songs ever, or our pop culture authority, but it's about a specific grindhouse movie or genre. And they do like 15 minutes on the film or the genre, and then they analyze the history of it, why it's important, where it comes from, its influence, its impact. It's really good.
And they really know what they're talking about, and they're very entertaining while they do it.
That's the thing. It's good and good for you. It's like, well, they're knowledgeable and funny and legitimately interested in the topic, but they also know how to convey it really well. So we're doing the show this morning at Outlook Portland, and I one of the fine sponsors for Outlook Portland is Things from Another World. Whatever you're into, they have just the thing for your collection. Go to tfaw.com. That is Things from Another World. And so I'm getting ready to do the live read, and it's like I'm reading the copy for their Black Friday special. And it's like David Walker is sitting right next to me. And you'll get to see this when it airs. I told him, I said, look, when I get to the thing about Black Friday, I'm going to say this line about Black Friday. I said, just glare. I said, we'll cut it together later. So I make this joke about David Walker and Black Friday. And then the camera just cuts to him and he's just giving me that, like, you know, that like glower he does.
Yes.
So I'm hoping it all comes together. But I thought about this. What would you think of this idea? Because, you know, he did the Black Star Warrior. He did, you know, that's that trailer is David Walker. It's a trailer for a non-existent film, for a non-existent black exploitation version of Star Wars. And the thing is, the kids these days, what the hell am I talking about? Squires Electric? I'll get to it. You know, the kids these days, they love the fake trailers for movies that don't, like, really exist. And then you use that either to get financing or just to be sort of amusing. So there's, like, Hobo with a Shotgun or, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
Or, like, the Werewolves of the SS or, you know.
That clown thing that was supposedly an Eli Roth film that was really not.
Machete, which started as that. So I was thinking, David Walker. David Walker, all he wants for Christmas is justice. David Walker in Black Friday. And then it's David Walker. He's like trying to get his shopping done, right? Because David, he'd be shopping. He's trying to get his shopping done, you know, with like a gun of some kind. You know, and then it's like everywhere he goes, people are just, you know, they're in front of him and they're trying to buy one of those dancing Santas, but they can't figure out like if they're getting the kind with the reindeer or without. And so David finally just snaps and he just starts breaking people's jaws with the butt of a rifle. And then he says the catchphrase, which is, and then I don't know what the catchphrase would be.
You know what we could do? Checkout
time.
What do you think about having a bit on the show where we have David Walker come in and read us the Black Friday ads for the different companies, only in the voice of a blaxploitation guy?
How great would that be? You know what I mean? Like, it just, you know, be like, yeah, the machete thing. Sort of like a 2-for-1 mattress sales with cover. David Walker in Black Friday. You know? You see what I'm saying? This is what I do with my life. I spent like 5 minutes last night brainstorming slogans for the film. And what I came up with is like, you know, like all he wants for Christmas is justice, because everything else was terrible. He didn't seem to find the idea nearly as amusing this morning, but also it was incredibly early and I don't think anybody had any caffeine. I like the idea of him coming on the show and doing this, though. Wouldn't you watch that movie?
I would.
If it was David Walker, who made Black Santa's Revenge.
Well, yeah, Black Santa's
which
Revenge.
Which is awesome.
It's wonderful.
By the way, if you have not seen Mr. David Walker's Black Santa's Revenge, you got to see it. It's fantastic. It's one of the best things that's ever been filmed.
And the thing, it's so good.
It's a really
so
legitimately
well
great. Well, David,
he's good.
Cool. He knows what he's doing.
I love that.
But
David
I'm just
Walker.
Saying, you know, David Walker buying low price consumer merchandise. November 26th, David Walker in Black Friday. And it's like he would be trying to shop somewhere to buy, you know, to buy reasonably priced items for his friends and loved ones. But it's like Whitey would be in his way everywhere he went. And finally, he just couldn't, you know, like he just couldn't take it anymore.
We could make that film.
We could make that film probably just without him even knowing, just by following him around.
You going shopping, David? No reason.
We could make that film like Chubby Rain style, just by you know, just trailing him with a camera and just seeing him go slowly mental and punching people in the face. Squires Electric, yes. Followed by the sound of you glurging down. Four Loko. You know you're going to get halfway through one of those and it's going to refund on you. Into the mic. That mic's not waterproof.
It's. I've reached this point now when I swallow it and I just feel sad.
Like you're swallowing the condensed broken dreams of a whole generation.
Yeah.
It's like distilled essence of failure. All right.
I feel like I'm punishing myself.
Squid beak. Well, in any event, Squires Electric. I don't know where I'm going with this, frankly. I have nothing. I have no way to string all this together into anything that remotely resembles a live read for, a commercial about, or an endorsement on behalf of Squires Electric. I am failing right now. I will tell you, and I mean this sincerely. I don't mean that insincerely, as I sometimes do when I say I mean something sincerely. If you are listening to the Rick Emerson radio program, as you clearly are, and you're saying to yourself, hey, this is a great show. I'm enjoying this. I like to hear other people suffer so that I might be amused. Because really, Don is suffering quite like our Savior Jesus at this moment. If you say to yourself, what makes this possible? It is, of course, two things. It's, you know, the support of folks like yourself giving up that 32 cents a day, which, you know, and we sort of make light of the fact it's 32. But, you know, 32 cents is 32 cents. How much a can of Four Loko set you back?
About $2.50.
See, so I'm saying right there, $2.50, you know, that's, you know, so every day you're listening to the Rick Emerson radio program, that's like, you know, that's like a ninth of a can of Four Loko.
And I bought two of them. So, like, honestly, I spent like $5 on this. I spent $5 just to do this bit. How could you not spend $6.99 a month?
Really?
And
she's taking years off her life. That's the thing. This is like the Halloween tree where everybody agrees to die a year earlier at the end so they can save Pip. So Dawn is really obliterating brain cells by the tens of thousands today.
And I can't really spare that many at this point.
And so you're given, like the 32 cents, which is, you know. But also, you know, our fine business partners helped to make this possible. Squires Electric is one of them. You can find out more about Squires Electric by going to squireselectric.com. Squireselectric.com. That's 503-252-1609. 503-252-1609. 1609 or go to squireselectric.com. They've been in Portland for over 12 years. Electrical wiring or wiring of any kind, Ethernet wiring, office intercom systems, something you don't really think about until you press a button, it doesn't work, or until you need it maintained or fixed, or especially, God forbid, God help you. Heaven forfend, you get to that thing where it's like the, you get something that's a combination of plumbing and electrical work and it doesn't work. Like you get the, like the jacuzzi, or how about this? The garbage disposal. That is like water and electricity. You know, it's plumbing and it's electricity coming through wires, vanishing into a thing that's a tangle of plumbing.
And grindy things that can hurt you.
And that's the thing. Can I just tell you, I had to fish my hand around inside the garbage disposal the other day. It's unnerving. They freak you out. They freak everybody out. I think I'm getting drunk just sitting next to you. I'm just talking about nothing over here. I'm just saying, don't fix it yourself. You call Squires Electric, 503-252-1609. We started this like an hour ago. 503-252-1609 or go to squireselectric.com. That is squireselectric.com. We're going to take a little pee break here because people are now screaming at pee break. I think hearing you drink Four Loko is having a sympathetic bladder response. Many of the owners. I got to find you a drinking song here, though. Hold on a second. Let's.
Do we have any Flogging Molly on there?
We do. I got your Flogging Molly. I got your Dropkick Murphys. I got your David Allen Coe. I got your Hank Jr. I got your Hank Sr. I got your Willie Nelson.
I go with either the Dropkick Murphys or the Flogging Molly.
All right, hold on a second.
Being as I come from Irish extraction.
How Irish proud your ancestors must be that you're upholding their reputation. Tolerance and
yes.
And being a snappy dresser. Let's see, Flogging Molly. Do you have a particular Flogging Molly song?
No, whatever you got.
Just do whatever you sort of. All right, we'll go to, we'll do Devil's, let's see, we'll do maybe Devil's Dance Floor. Oh, no, we'll do Drunken Lullabies.
Oh, yes.
Hey, you kids. All right, we're going to do a little break here. This is Flogging Molly, by request, for the lady in the back. Don Taylor consuming Four Loko so that you don't have to, right here on the Rick Emerson radio program. Back after this, still to come, Walking Dead.
You're listening to the Emerson News Network.
Take a life for heck, the lies take a lesson.
You're listening to the best of the Rick Emerson Show. We return tomorrow with a brand new program. This is the Emerson News Network.
It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for joining us today. I wonder how many... So if I just search drunk... Let's see. Is there a thing where I can just search my music? All right. I'm just going to see what comes up. If I just go to... Let's see. All right. I'm going to search the word drunk in my music library here. And just see what comes up. I mean, it may not be a lot. You know, who's to say?
Have you made it a point to collect songs about drunkenness over the years?
Not as such. That's what I'm saying. It would be sort of interesting. I'm going to look and actually just see... Because what I've got here is I've got a... it's not the entire thing. It's not a total duplicate, but it is a... I have duplicated a large portion of my home music library here. And so I'm just going to type in drunk as a keyword. Oh, wow. Now, here's the funny thing about this. This will perhaps not surprise most people. Like, the first 50 things that come up on my hard drive when I search the word drunk are sound bites from previous Rick Emerson shows in which people were drunk. Scotty, Sarah,
surprising.
Richie vomiting a second time, Richie vomiting in a phone booth.
See, no one wants to hear that.
Richie vomiting on Timmy Ryan downtown, Richie drinking the Cobra whiskey, Scotty again, Scotty trying to sing Judas Priest while drunk.
Play that.
Really?
Yeah, I want to hear that.
All right, hold on a second. Let me just, let's see if I can get a little bit, I believe this is the sound of Scotty.
I don't know, but whatever Cheryl last filled with the Green Man Lucci of the two-pronged crown, that was great.
There you go. Who can argue with that?
Wow.
One more time.
I don't know, but whatever Cheryl last filled with the Green Man Lucci of the two-pronged crown, that was great.
Hitting the post, Scotty. Well done. How you doing over there?
I have no idea what he actually said.
Here's something that says drunken slut.
Did someone call me a drunken slut?
No. It's a soundbite. I better not play that. I don't know what that is.
I thought that was just something in the text box. Don's a drunken slut.
Well, I haven't checked the text box in a few minutes.
I am not a slut.
Okay. I'm not saying it.
Anymore.
Let's just take another trip through yesteryear. Let's play another Scotty drunk cut, shall we, Don?
Sure, please.
All right, I have not pre-listened to any of these. Were you there or did you witness the Scotty J getting drunk show years ago?
No, I didn't.
I guess literally years ago. I think it was a couple years ago. We had the fridge in the studio. We had the whole fridge of fortified wines. We had some Boone's Farm. We had some Mad Dog. We had some 2020. We had some Ripple. We had some Night Train.
God.
But the thing is, the deal with Scotty is that he had to agree because he was...
All of which tastes better than Four Loko, by the way.
Well, not when they're all mixed together, I think, because the deal is he had to agree to drink whatever we put in front of him, as long as it was just made from those bottles. In other words, it was like, we weren't going to put anything else in there. But we were going to mix things from those bottles together, and he had to drink the combination. And so would give him, like, because we were bored... And because it gets you things like...
I don't know, but whatever Cheryl last filled with the Green Man Lucci of the two-pronged crown, that was great.
By the way, how sad is it I can tell Aaron's asthmatic wheeze in the background? But the deal was, we said, look, we're not going to give you anything from, like, the sink or, you know, like, detergent or what. It's just going to be from these, like, six bottles, but we'll mix it and you got to drink it. And he was like, okay.
You're like evil frat boys sometimes
yes.
on that show, weren't you?
Yes, on that show. We haven't
inflicted anything on anyone yet because we don't have an intern.
He was just so unbelievably drunk, though, by the end of that day, that it was just... Let me now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show.
Hold me like you did by the way.
Together, Scotty.
No! Nabu!
What? Aaron,
no,
Geek in the City,
no,
Duran. Hi, Aaron.
Oh.
Hi, Aaron.
Scotty's wearing his headphones on his ears.
He's
like on the sides of his head.
Scotty, those earphones like have to be over your ears to work.
A grown up?
No, because it's too loud. Too loud, man.
You've got a
too loud.
You've got
to
twist your knob.
It's like three kids.
No, yeah. I don't even know where my knob is.
It's next to Naboo. Fantastic.
Were you just telling Sarah to shut up about something during the break?
Yeah, he was yelling at me.
Why were you telling Sarah to shut up?
I thought she should, like, listen to me.
Does she listen to you?
Never.
Good times. I don't even know. Now, somewhere around here, I got the thing of Scotty drunk after the Vanilla Ice concert, where he was like as drunk. It was drunker than anybody I have ever witnessed in my life. He was like talking about. I have part of it on tape somewhere. It's like in one of my files. But he was like, Vanilla Ice is my brother. We're brothers. It was like, and he just kept saying it over and over. Like I kept saying, dude, like it's not making any sense. Like the 50th time, it makes no more sense than like the first time. But he kept insisting that he and Vanilla Ice were brothers, and that I should, you know, and that I should give more respect and acknowledgement to that fact.
If you were being forced by some hand of God to bring back either Timmy Ryan or Scotty J, and you had to pick one. Which one? Would it be Scotty?
Yeah, Scotty. Really, because, I mean, the thing about Scotty is, never mind. I don't even. It's more a thing about Timmy than it is a thing about Scotty. And I think the people, by the way, would agree that that's the right choice. So,
by the way, were they both Timmy and Scotty before they came here?
Yes, they were.
So you
grown men.
You heard two grown men who use diminutives of their.
Scotty, by the way, is presumably still is, but was, I think, had like the father of two kids. I mean, how can you face the day with that as your dad? I mean, really. But two kids, you know, a seemingly endless procession of new cars. Quite fond of talking about the flat screen television in his shower.
Did his wife make a lot of money?
I would imagine she would have had to. And also just to have been just either developmentally delayed in some way or just incredibly tolerant or just not home, maybe. You know, but yeah, so he, by the way, Scotty could not, in fact, spell his own name occasionally because on the, I have a photograph of this, on the air check that he submitted to me when he was angling for a gig, when he was trying to get a job at the station, he submitted because he was a DJ. He would go out and do like a little, you know, like the, not club DJ, but like event, like wedding DJing, whatever. So he presented a photograph of like a Holiday Inn where he was going to be thrown down on the wheels of steel, like for a wedding party. And his name was on the reader board out front. He'd had them put it up, and I swear to God, it said Scotty J with one T. So, you know, so there's that.
So, and did that help him with the hiring process? Or
no, it did not. I mean, well, you know,
everyone else was worse than him.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, here's, except for Greg Nibbler. See, the thing is about Greg is Greg's like in his own category. That's the thing. It's like Greg is like in his own. Yeah. Greg doesn't even, it's not even the same, they're not even the same species, really. Like, Greg was the first person to actually, here's the secret about that. When Greg and Sarah actually show up later, we might corral them and talk to them about this for a bit. I'd like to know, actually, Greg's thoughts about actually coming into that gig, because it was Scotty, then it was Richie, then it was Greg. And the thing about it, like, Greg, God love Richie, God love Scotty, Greg was the first person who actually did that job well, in the traditional sense of the word. I mean, Scotty was great.
I don't know, but whatever Cheryl Lesfield with the Green Manalucio, the two-pronged crown,
but you know, like,
great
in that way. Greg was the first person, I think, who actually did the job, you know, like, traditionally well.
See, I was never here for the Scotty or the Timmy years. I never met them. I came in during the Richie period. And so I always dealt with Richie. And then I came in that one day, and Richie was just gone, and it was Greg.
Richie who? Yeah.
And I, honest to God, I thought Greg was somebody who had, like, a better, more responsible job at the station, who was just sort of filling in at the last minute.
Yeah.
Because it never occurred to me for a minute that he actually was in the same position, because Greg, you know,
has his act together and isn't vomiting on you all the time.
Yes.
Because when
and
you see him,
wasn't wearing, like stripper heels and a feather boa.
When you say
and
hello,
a sailor cap.
Isn't busy squeezing pus out of his face and saying, like, who are you? You know, and then hurling in a phone booth downtown.
Yeah.
Well, it was a different time. All right. Ladies and gentlefolk, look over there.
And now, from the news desk, this is Dawn Taylor.
Let's do our clergy watch.
All right. You know, for the life of me, I'm trying to find this thing of Richie vomiting on Timmy, and it can't be located. I'll look harder though. Don't you worry, you kids. I'll find it for you. What is this, clergy?
Yes.
Here is your clergy watch for Monday, right here in the Rick Emerson Radio Program.
Oh, well, I guess it would be nice. I gotta have faith. Oh, I gotta have faith. Because you gotta have faith. I gotta have faith.
Here is Old hold on. Mr. Hand became Mr. Fist, and it was in front of Mr. Mouth as if holding back Mr. Wall of Vomit.
No, no, it was just a little, just burping.
Do you, let me ask you this. If you were, where are you in the can right now?
Where am I in the can? I'm
almost done?
I'm about halfway through the can.
What, you say no like it's implied? I'm just saying, I respect you and your drinking ability.
About halfway.
You're halfway, really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, you can't. You got to get to drinking if you're going to get this finished.
Oh, that's not happening.
I'm just saying, if you continued to drink at the same rate, do you believe you would vomit?
Quite possibly, yeah. Because because this stuff is nasty, and it's like it's kind of roiling in my stomach a little bit.
Do you get much warning before you vomit?
Yeah.
Really? So it's not going to sneak up on you?
No. I would know.
Like a churning.
Yeah.
Maybe like your mouth gets real wet.
Right.
You get the gritty feeling in the back of your teeth.
I'm not nauseous at the moment, so that's not doing anything for me.
Okay. Here's Dawn Taylor.
Thank you. A Catholic priest charged with stealing $83,000 from his Massachusetts parish. Shut up.
Awesome.
Spent a large portion of the money on his pornography habit, according to police. Reverend Keith LeBlanc, 59, was removed earlier this year from his pastor's post at St. John the Baptist Church in the face of an investigation by the Archdiocese of Boston. That review and a subsequent police probe determined that LeBlanc used church funds to pay for online porn and pay-per-view adult movies ordered from the St. John's Rectory. According to the Haverhill Police Department report, LeBlanc told the
I'm thinking of something I saw yesterday. Thinking of a poem I saw in Reader's Digest.
LeBlanc told a lawyer for the Archdiocese that he has an addiction and needs help. Records obtained by investigators show that LeBlanc used a specific credit card for his online porn purchases, and that card had a whopping $25,000 balance.
Just do me this kindness. Just say online porn purchases.
Online porn purchases.
Okay.
Thank you.
I can die happy now.
So he used this credit card for it, and he had a $25,000 balance.
You know, I
in
guess
porn.
Here's my whole thing, and this indicates that really, you know, we can make the obligatory comments about they ought to be allowed to marry, and if they didn't have to lead a chaste lifestyle and whatever. But, I mean, this shows really how out of touch the men of God are. Who pays for porn at this point? I mean, really, you'd have to really work, unless it's very niche porn.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're really angling into some seriously deviant stuff. You have to really work to spend $25,000 on porn.
He spent $4,000 on adult movies that he ordered according to his Comcast bills as well. So he was doing pay-per-view on Comcast.
I don't get the whole deal with pay-per-view porn. I mean, let me ask you this.
Okay.
You've ordered some pay-per-view movies in general, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
With a pay-per-view...
I even ordered a pay-per-view porn movie once when I first got my...
you ordered a what?
DVR. A pay-per-view porn movie.
With pay-per-view, can you stop and rewind and go back and go forward? Or is it just like...
I could, because it was on, like, the DVR.
Okay,
so
I was able
to do
so it's not like one of those candy-grabbing cranes where, like, there's, you know, the handle goes forward, but you can't go back.
I guess, well, if you have a DVR, it's not. But otherwise, then I think, yeah, you just got to watch it straight through.
The point of having porn, you can't rewind.
I
mean, guys, you're right. Huh? Come on.
I only got it because we had just gotten the whole new system, Dish Network or something. And it was like, ooh, pay-per-view movies and pay-per-view porn. And they had midget porn. And so I had
Really? Did they have actual midget porn?
Yeah, except it was like Ukrainian midget porn. So it was really, it was like. Exceptionally low rent budget porn.
Okay, not because Ukrainians themselves are a low rent people, of course, but just because the budget is necessarily finite for that. It would say the production values are not as high as you might expect from American porn.
I wanted more from my midget porn.
Everybody
it being
knows.
My first experience with midget porn. Well, actually, my only experience with midget porn.
I'm not even really sure that I've seen midget porn, and I've seen some really weird porn in my life. Did I ever tell you that this time that I was, this is about the clown porn, this time that it was another one of those events where I seemed to be at a party. You know, I went through this period of my life where I was at a lot of parties where porn would just start playing in the background.
Really?
It was like somebody was trying to start something, and I only realize it now in retrospect. Like, okay. They were trying to get a little, you know, it was just like a party. It wasn't like a party. It wasn't like a life. I wasn't in the lifestyle.
See, I went to one of those lifestyle parties
like some
once,
sex
and I
party or something.
Wasn't expecting there to be porn. I got to say, if you're going to show porn at a party, I want to know ahead of time. I don't want to sneak up on me.
Yeah.
And I went to a party where I was fairly sure there would be stuff like that going. But honestly, I walked in the front door, and the first thing that hit me, there was a big monitor. And not only was there porn on it, but it was like fat chicks.
Yeah.
I can't say what they were doing to each other. I don't think I should use the word. But anyway.
Did you hear that weird gurgling that just came out of you just now?
No.
Okay.
But yeah, it was just – it was unpleasant.
Yeah. No,
it took me by surprise.
I seem to be at – you know, earlier in my life, I seem to go through this period where I was at a lot of parties where somebody would just put on porn in the background. And again, I don't know who – and so, therefore, I don't know why. And I don't know if they were, like, trying to get a little something going. Like, if it was – in other words, I don't know if it was the same person at every party because I had, like, a circle of friends. So it's, like, the same group of folks. I don't know. Like, maybe in retrospect, there was some guy who at every party was thinking, like, this will be the one. We're all going to end up on Visqueen, you know, or whatever.
Or is it one of those things where they were just trying to show how, like, hip they
or
were.
Or how liberated. Or,
yeah.
Or maybe, you know, everybody was, you know – I mean, everybody was, you know, people were drinking or some people were abusing themselves with chemicals. And, you know, so maybe it was like, people are stoned. This will be hilarious. I'll put on some silly porn. But occasionally it would just end up being something like really not even vile as such, just so specific as to be a little off-putting for some reason. Like it would, you know, like there was this one that was just – it was just – I swear to God, it was just Ron Jeremy having sex with women over the age of 70. And it's like – you know, whatever. I mean, look, hey, grannies need love too. Rick Emerson real. I don't begrudge that.
But I want more for them than Ron Jeremy.
It just became really distracting. You were just – because it's like guys are used to averting their gaze around Ron Jeremy and just looking at the chick. But this was like – that was no roadmap here because you weren't going to get to happiness that way.
Unless you have a granny fetish.
No, and then you know, but then it might have been the same because then they segued to this other film that was very similar, but it was just called Black and Gray. And it was just like – it was your well-endowed black men. You know, giving it to, like, you know, somebody that looked like the Avon lady.
Well, I will say better for the grannies there than Ron Jeremy.
Well, I suppose. I mean, all right.
What were you doing with your keys?
With the done with our clergy watch?
Yes.
All right, here's your, there we go.
You're just over there rattling keys around. Because I gotta have faith. Oh, I gotta have faith.
They've been just making sure that my automobile keys did not end up anywhere near your person today. Hey, so is your husband in Portland right now?
No.
Oh, that's handy. That's great.
Home.
You should take another drink of that.
No, I think I'm going to stop now.
Now that's the sound of sadness in the audience. People were told you were going to drink not Four Loko, but a Four Loko. And I got to say that you know, that's fine. I mean,
I honestly did not expect it to be as strong as it is. I really didn't. I thought that it was overhyped, and I figured I would drink the whole thing, and I would get, like, a modest buzz. But now I'm sort of feeling like if I do drink this whole thing, there's no way I'm driving myself home.
By the way, Cheryl is requesting. By the way, she says, ellipsis. I imagine, you know, here's the sound I imagine, and I mean this with love, you know, because Cheryl's great. I imagine Cheryl, every time she gets ready to send us a text or, like, you know, call us, that she makes a noise not unlike Kiff on Futurama, just sort of it's where Zap is. Kiff, fetch my robe. You know, Kiff, get me a sponge bath. And he just does that.
Yeah, she tunes as I'll listen to the merriment on the Rick Emerson. And then she just got 5 seconds, and she's like.
By the way, and here's the thing about the text box. If you all are familiar with Skype, if you open the text box from somebody that you have chatted with before, or they've sent you a text in the past, the previous chat session is still there, but it's, like, grayed out, so you can see, like, last time on your chat with whoever. I'm looking at the grayed out text from last week, which is the last time we chatted, and again, it was like, I am feeling, please stop talking about this, and I don't remember what it was. It was whatever we were talking about at 2:39 on Friday. Anyway, she says, by the way, please don't blog about drinking massive amount of Four Loko and vomiting. And then she says, this is where she puts the knife in, if at all possible. Like, unless you're children and just can't help yourselves.
Yeah.
I did find a couple of things here. Now, I don't know what these are. I mean, I do sort of in general. But we'll listen to these in a second. I found a couple of cuts of, these are not cuts of Scotty J.
I don't know, but whatever Cheryl last filled with the Green Man Lucy.
That is, I found some cuts of Richie. And so we'll play those here in just a,
You're listening to the best of the Rick Emerson Show. We return tomorrow with a brand new program. This is the Emerson News Network.
It's time for another exciting installment of The Greatest Songs Ever Made. I really didn't pick this song to echo this whole conversation, but hey, what are you going to do?
You can't help it if it flows.
That's what I'm saying. 1 minute and 9 seconds. That's the mark you need to listen for in this song. 1 minute and 9 seconds into this song. At that moment, at 1 minute and 9 seconds, there's a sort of musical watershed, a cultural tide that finally breaks through and lets in all the rushing armies of exuberance, revelation, unabashed, jubilant exultation, and sex, of course. It's always about sex, or some combination of sex, repression, confusion, unhinged manic energy. That's what some people have in abundance. It's what adults all too often renounce, and it's what Little Richard manages to convey with absolute crystal clarity in the nonstop, overwhelming assault that permeates today's song. Released in 1958, the song stole its piano intro from Rocket 88 by the one and only Ike Turner and paired it to lyrics by John Mariscalo and Robert Blackwell. But it was the voice, it was the unholy delivery that made this song famous. No one, not Chuck Berry, not John Lennon, no one, in fact, until Bon Scott probably, put so much into every raspy, gravelly nanosecond. And no one, ever, before or since, made it seem as though you were listening to a very, very real, somewhat crazy, bordering on the brink of chaos, externalized human id in a mixture of salvation and sin. And the voice came from an artist just as layered, textured, confused, and unbelievably manic. Born in Macon, Georgia in 1932, Richard Penniman battled poverty, racism, and conflicted feelings about God, a struggle for fame, and his own long-repressed homosexuality. All of this, the sexual struggle, racial strife, hungry desire for material wealth, and the fear of biblical damnation that seemed to be an omnipresent threat, created a crazed persona that could scarcely be contained by the limits of the singer's voice, much less the grooves in the vinyl. And that vinyl held such a song. Years later, John Lennon would describe the scream that happened at the 1 minute 9 second mark. He said, "It made your hair stand on end." And in that moment, though you didn't want to admit it, even to yourself, Elvis had been pushed aside. But that shriek at 1 minute and 9 seconds is only part of the story. The rest is told by pounding, propulsive piano, a groove so large that it single-handedly inspired no less than James Brown to enter the music business, and lyrics so direct, they still have the power to shock. There was no mystery what this song is about. It was almost certain that the female described in this tale didn't have traditional sporting activities on her mind. So, close your eyes and send yourself back more than 50 years to a time of repression and of stifling blandness, to a time when a young John Lennon sat motionless by the radio, transfixed. One of the greatest songs ever made. This is Little Richard and Good Golly, Miss Molly.
Listening to the best of the Rick Emerson Show. We return tomorrow with a brand new program. This is the Emerson News Network.
Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for joining us. It's 503-505-6964. 503-505-6964. Okay, I had the following three ideas while in the bathroom.
Okay.
One, it's too bad that they're legislating Four Loko out of business because that guy's never going to get the chance to have a mobile distribution system called the Locomotive, which would sort of be like Jaeger Girls, you know. But it'd be like a lunch truck, except it's a truck that comes by, you know, to give all the workers a can of Four Loko as a little bit of a midday pick me up. The Locomotive is coming to your town or your college. The Locomotive. How about this?
Second, or that's your reason to drink Four Loko is your locomotive.
I don't understand.
Motive.
Oh, I see. What's your locomotive?
Yes.
And you'd say, like, my wife left me, you know, or...
I have nothing to live for. I'm flunking out of school. That's my locomotive.
I'm covered in cigarette burns.
My tongue is full of lesions.
Awesome. Have another drink, Don.
Okay. Yum.
I nearly had sex with my uncle. Okay. Excellent. Anywho, we should totally start that ad campaign.
Doesn't get any better
without his knowledge. Even we should just do it. Okay, so yeah, the locomotive, or what is your locomotive, so forth. Here's the other thing. I was thinking we should start some sort of a campaign. This is how you can tell that it's one of those things I really believe in, because I have nothing to gain from this. I don't drink Loko for Loko. I'm not going to be drinking it.
You haven't even opened it and tasted it, and it's been there the whole time.
See, that's how you – by the way, that is how you can tell, you know, that it's like – I mean, not that anybody thought I was an alcoholic, but I mean, that's like – I would say that's the litmus test. Like, it's just sitting there. You know, if I go the rest of my life, don't open it. I don't care. You know, but it just offends me on such a practical, such a patriotic level that they are taking this nectar away from my people. I was thinking we could start a campaign called, like, Lego My Loco, you know, where it'd be like American citizens on YouTube, and they'd be holding, you know, like, you know, I demand, you know, Lego My Loco, and then, you know, whatever. Mm. Be like that. We're all in the same gang thing that they released in 1986. But then I thought about this. I thought that we here at the Rick Emerson Radio Program, Cheryl, don't listen to this. I thought that we here at the Rick Emerson Radio, and all of us at the Emerson News Network, every one of us, we ought to just preemptively, we had to just stage a rally to preemptively demand that Sam Adams keep it legal.
Yeah.
There you go. Right there. You seriously, that guy wants to lock up another term right now? You pass some law saying it may be illegal everywhere else, but in Portland, you'll be able to, you know, get loco and stay loco. Like a loco in loco parentis. There's something there. But, you know, I'm just like, if he just passed like a little bit of a decree, you know, like here in the fiefdom of Adams, they will, you know, they may take your freedom, but they will never take your loco.
I would like to share with you, real quick, before we get to our next thing, something that does taste good that is interesting I found this weekend.
Are these the M&Ms that you spilled in your bag earlier? Have you taken M&Ms out of the bottom of your bag and put them back into the M&Ms package, and you're now going to try to get me to eat them?
In the bottom of the bag. They were just in this one pocket. They were fine. They're
hint of lint. Yes, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Anyway, well, you don't have to taste them.
No, that's fine. What are they?
Anyway, they have two seasonal flavors of M&Ms. One is chocolate mint, and this one is cherry cordial.
Oh, wow.
And
want.
Granted, you can only eat a few of them before you go, okay.
Does it overwhelm you?
Too many. You're overwhelmed very quickly. But they do taste eerily like cherry cordial candies.
Okay, can I tell you this?
Eerily like them.
Have you had the other new M&M flavor? Have you had the M&M
mint?
Pretzel?
No.
Oh, dude.
I've seen the commercials for them,
but I haven't
tried them.
Oh, Lord. Oh, heaven. You have no... You cannot fathom or conceive. You can't even begin to... Seriously, the M&M
really?
Pretzel. Because it's a little bit of salty, you know? A lot of sweet, a little bit of salty, and then it's like the crunch, too. It's a really satisfying crunch. Wow. Now, here's the thing. It does taste exactly like it. Now, it tastes a lot like a thing I don't really like.
Oh.
But I wanted to try. It does taste very similar to a cherry cordial, which again I'm not a big fan of. But yeah, it's an astonishingly similar taste. Yeah, I couldn't eat. Wow, even one of those.
Yeah, no, you eat like two or three. You eat them and you go, hey, that does taste like cherry cordials. And then after you've eaten like three of them, you go, and I'm done.
Here's the irony. This is kind of what I imagine the Four Loko tastes like. So you can have these back. All right, there you go. Awesome.
Yeah, this bag's gonna last like a lifetime. But the thing is, it's another thing like the cheeseburger chips.
Yeah.
Where you put it in your mouth.
You're like,
you taste
how do they
it,
do
go,
that?
Oh my God, that's eerie.
I mean, it's just amazing.
And then you realize you don't really actually want to keep eating it.
Before we do the TSA thing, somebody asked if I was gonna play these. So just a little bit of I haven't previewed these.
Okay.
These are my file names. These are whatever I named them, you know, 2 years ago. So, do you remember that? You've seen the Cobra liquor that I had, right? The Cobra whiskey? It was
no.
on my desk in the office.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
It was a bottle
yeah.
of, I think, tequila from Vietnam. So, you know.
Yeah.
Filled with, I swear to Christ, it had a snake and a scorpion in it. And which, by the way, they didn't stop Richie with any of that stuff at the border. He came in with a suitcase. They took a Zippo lighter away from him. But he had a suitcase full of bottles of strange liquid filled with scorpions and snakes. And like, nothing to see here. Give me the lighter, sir. And then they just passed him right on through. We made him drink it at one point, though, because I got sick of not knowing what it tasted like, and, like, I wasn't going to figure it out. So so we had Richie drink it on the air. All my alcohol was merely decorative. The Cobra whiskey, the Johnny Walker Blue that I own, it's all just for looks. So let's see
what
here.
What is Johnny Walker Blue?
Johnny Walker Blue is 75-year-old Johnny Walker. It is incredibly expensive. A fifth of Johnny Walker Blue would run you how much, would you imagine?
$250. Whoa.
So I got some of that at home. Listener gave it to me. And, you know, the thing is, I don't know what it tastes like. I'm not going to drink it. I would leave it on my desk and just wait for – and it was always guys to go. I would see these guys sit across from me, and they'd be talking to me, and, like, their eyes would catch it, and then they'd look at me. But they would more and more frequently look back at the bottle, and they would say, is that Johnny? And I'd say, yes, it is. Johnny Walker Blue. And then, like, they'd – pause for a second, and then I'd say, I don't drink. I'm actually never going to drink it. I'm just going to take it home. It's never going to be opened. I might just throw it out. okay, so this is Richie later in the evening after having after being told he had that his job depended on drinking, that if he didn't drink the Cobra whiskey, we were going to get rid of him. So let's see.
Wait, over here.
Why, hello.
Oh, that's Timmy hello. Ryan.
I'm Timmy Ryan.
Oh, God.
I'm Richie.
And Richie just totally puked because he's a light drunk, and he's Vietnamese, and he can't hold alcohol. He can only start.
That's what's known as the
I'm kidding. Anyway, yeah, that's known as.
We're going to the Asian frush.
Say that again.
That's known as the Asian frush.
Thank you, Adam. That is Richie Bristol's mess. Jesus Christ. And we're spent.
Look at the
Richie,
disgust in Timmy's voice.
Welcome to rookie camp.
Look, I had tear tots.
Richie, I remember my first beer, too.
Richie's the mascot for amateur night Bush League hour.
Jesus Christ.
Was that wow. tater tots? That was awesome.
Oh, my God.
Dr. Peppers in a wine cooler.
That's funny, dude. That's hilarious.
Look, it's right on his hand.
It's squirming.
Get it on me. Looks like something from the Hormel family.
Yeah, it looks like something you buy
oh, God.
At like...
I need a napkin.
Use your pants. All right, that's enough.
For some reason, the phrase "I need a napkin" was the thing that I latched onto in that soundbite. That was actually the whole soundbite became just an excuse, just a mechanism to get to the "I need a napkin." We'll do one more than the TSA story. Then we probably should. Although I haven't seen Greg and Sarah yet, so we'll skedaddle out of here in a few. Let me just. Here's one more. I have no idea what this is. This is.
Do you hold anything against me?
So this is Timmy Ryan Adam Thompson, also of the Pimp Squad, and Richie Bristol. I think this was earlier at Adam's house where Timmy insisted that they all do shots of Patron before they were allowed to drink the Cobra whiskey.
Do you hold anything against me for doing this? I hold any liability.
I am doing this entirely on my own.
Thank you.
Richie, are you doing this entirely on your own?
I'm doing this for me.
They're getting ready to drink the Cobra whiskey.
This and
look
enjoy
at the Cobra. It's sticking its head out. Look at that. Okay, I want to.
You know what would be great after you do this? You break the bottle open and you get the Cobra out.
Look, the Cobra. Look at that glistening.
I said we wrestle the Cobra.
You know, the Cobra.
Look at that.
You know what would be great if the Cobra comes back to life and eats you? Okay, so I want to take
dudes
you
in their native environment.
Let's go.
I thought you can't smell, Richie.
Let's go.
Hey.
Ooh, I can't smell. I just know that that. I mean, look at that.
It doesn't. Smell good.
I'm not talking about smell. Look at the Cobra.
It smells really bad.
Jeez.
Okay, get back. I want you guys to take a shot together.
I know it smells. Look at the Cobra.
On three, I want you to say Rick Emerson Show. Three, two, one.
Way to go, Timmy Ryan.
Emerson Show. Rick Emerson Show.
There you go, Rick. Oh, get that out. Check that out.
I didn't really know what's happening there. Right?
That's hot.
Is it hot? It's all that venom.
I don't know which is worse, him for doing this or you for saving it.
Oh, you know.
Oh, my God.
So, Adam, how is the Cobra whiskey?
You know, I didn't throw up like our little fancy boy here.
Like it was like Richie, where he's got, it's like he's got innumerable compartments inside his thorax that contain things just to be expelled in the event of too much alcohol consumption. All right.
And, do you have any comments from the listeners on this while you're playing all this stuff?
Really? Anything? Somebody right here said, this guy says, hey, this is because we talked about launching the All Iron Maiden channel. Somebody says, hey, can you launch an All Sounds of People Vomiting channel? I'd pay $1.50 a show for that. All right. Let's see. So just a moment here. We'll go to the news desk. I'm going to have you start with something else. I'm going to double check on the presence of Greg and Sarah.
Okay.
And then we will end accordingly. But I want to make sure that we're not holding them up. So, ladies and gentlemen, at the news desk, it's Don Taylor.
And now, from the news desk, this is Don Taylor.
A 60-pound bag of gravel fell and crushed a worker in Salem, Massachusetts on Saturday. The 38-year-old roofer from Lynn, Massachusetts, was killed in the freak accident on the job site. Workers were repairing a leaking roof of a building using a pulley and a 60-pound bag of gravel as the weight. They were lowering materials to the ground when something happened. Ramon Ortiz said he saw the gravel bag getting loose and tried to warn the roofer. The bag dropped 50 feet onto the roofer's head, and he was killed. Deputy Chief Jerry Junta of the Salem Fire Department said, the bag fell from the roof down. Whether a worker was handling it and released it thinking the person had the rope or not, we really don't know. Salem fire officials said there was a 3-man crew working on the roof. Two people were on top of the roof. The victim was on the ground loading materials onto their truck. The victim worked for the Sosa Construction Company based out of Beverly, Massachusetts. The company has offered no comment.
It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Joining us now in the studio. Greg, did you lose a bet or something?
Yes, I did.
Really? I was just guessing at that. Greg is – can I say it?
Yes.
Greg is dressed head to toe in WSU garb.
Yes, he is.
Who's a little coog? Who? Who?
Oh, he's a little coog.
The ugliest sweater you've ever seen.
Please tell me that those came from Sarah's collection.
Oh, yeah.
That is a hideous sweater.
It is disgusting.
No offense.
It's the biggest upset in 5 years.
Really? So this is what game was this weekend?
This was OSU versus WSU.
And
how is it that Washington State actually beat OSU?
I have no idea.
Yeah. I think Greg is probably pondering that same outcome.
Well, the thing is...
Yes? What is the thing, Greg? Well, tell me about injustice.
I figured for sure that there was no way OSU was going to lose. So when we were making the bet, I was like, well, Sarah, let's make sure, because you're going to have to do this in public. So, you know, I want to be nice. We don't have to go overboard.
Greg's a caring man.
Oh, yeah.
And, no.
And it was so awesome. So we went and watched the game on Saturday. And I could not believe it. It was just insane. Like, they were playing better than I've ever seen them play before. They won 31-14, and my mom went to U of O, actually, too, and my mom called, and she was taunting Greg on the phone.
Is this more of that business where you root for a team and they lose?
Yes, he's a jinx. People are actually writing in, and they're pretty upset. They're like, Greg, stop cheering for OSU.
Have you thought about going, you know, going the Costanza route and just rooting for the other team?
At this point, I don't know what else to do. Yeah, that may be what I have to do.
Because, right. You know, I don't know. I mean, there are very few games in which I take a side. For example, every year, BYU plays Utah State. And so my wife went to Utah State, so I put on my BYU shirt and I have to just actively root against them. But it's always better when there's something, you know, some sort of wager, preferably something humiliating on the line. What would Sarah, what would she be doing today if she had lost the bet?
Well, she would have been in all OSU gear out all in public. Right. Yes. So the thing was, we had to do it out in public. So I've had to walk around like this. And then I wish I had a sign that said, you know, I lost a bet or something, you know, someone would know.
It would probably be more embarrassing at this point for you to be wearing OSU stuff, considering the Cougars kicked your ass this weekend.
Seriously. Is this like in Iran or something where you have to wear, like, I stole, and it's like you're missing a hand or something?
I wish I had a note around my neck so people don't think I really want to wear this sweater.
You love that sweater.
The thing about it is, it's like the hat I could almost get with, because a hat is, I mean, it's, you know, it's a baseball cap, and that's pretty much the same as the sweater, though. The sweater's bad just on innumerable levels. I mean, it's like very sort of like you're going to be like sitting in a ski lodge in New England in 1983. You know, it's just and I don't really know that it's your color, and also also it's kind of gay looking.
Extremely.
Yes. Has he had to, where has he been? Has he been paraded around to specific places in public, or is it just in general?
Nowhere too far, actually. He had to remind me that he was supposed to wear it at the coffee shop that we met at this morning.
Well, I did. I brought it out. I'll honor my bet. And I knew if I didn't, we would hear about it. I've already been getting such terrible emails from people all weekend long.
Excellent. Well done.
But the reason,
I'm a man of my word. I'll stick up for my bet.
But the reason we wanted to come in is because we heard that Don Taylor was drinking Four Loko. I have been waiting for this moment. I was counting down to come in.
So we were talking about the fact, you know, that they just banned it in Washington State, and they will undoubtedly try to do so here.
But I have just posted a picture of you in your Coug attire to
well
Facebook.
Done.
So it is uploading to my Facebook page.
Who lives in Cougar Town?
Who's a Cougar fan?
A little Cougar.
Oh God, it's so disgusting.
this stuff, by the way, Four Loko. This is really horrible. Yeah. Yeah. This is really horrible shit.
But I notice you've pretty much drank that entire thing. No.
I've drank about two-thirds of it. For science.
Yeah.
I will do these things for science.
It was.
You still have a whole other can over here, Don. What are you
doing? I was trying to get Rick to drink
that's
it, and
not
he
gonna,
won't even.
No, that's, no.
He won't even taste it.
The thing is, well, I might taste. I mean, look, if it's still here on Friday, I might try some on Friday. Just because, from everything I've heard...
You better hide it, though, because Aaron Duran's coming in, and he loves that stuff.
Really? I'll take it with me.
No, we have to limit him. We have a 1-4 Loko rule on
But see, I
well, he can have the remaining third of this if he wants, because honestly,
you've
got to
finish it.
I think it's
a
eating a hole in my stomach.
And here's the thing. It's not like that additional third is going to be the difference between sober Dawn and drunk Dawn. It's not like you're driving home
now.
Oh, yes, it is. You know? I mean,
Oh, do not make those statements until you yourself have walked the Four Loko path, my friend.
I'm just saying, I'm not saying it's easy to consume it, but I'm saying you are already drunk. It's not as though we're going to end the show and you're magically going to be like, and now my motor skills have returned. Off to toilet and I go.
See, but there's a little difference between being just slightly buzzed and like, I can't drive because I drank the whole Four Loko.
Yeah.
There's a big difference.
I understand that, but I'm saying...
But you made a commitment when you opened the can.
You know what it is? It's like you've walked 3/4 of the way into the woods.
I am not your Scotty J. I am not going to barf for your amusement.
I don't know, but whatever Cheryl last filled with the Green Manalushi of the two-prong crown, that was great.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, the Green Manalushi and the two-prong crown.
Oh, great. You know.
Oh, and thanks, by the way, again, Rick. I just want to thank you every time you bring this up for having me drive him home.
That wasn't awkward at all.
That was the most horrifically awkward. We won't even go into details, but that
was groping.
For the Rick Emerson Show.
Hold me like you did by the
way. Did Aaron or something.
What?
Aaron, geek in the city, Duran.
Hi,
Aaron.
How's it going?
Hi,
Aaron. He's wearing his headphones on his ears.
He's
like on the sides of his head.
Scotty, those earphones have to be over your ears to work.
No, because it's too loud. Too loud, man.
You can twist your knob.
No, I don't even know where my knob is.
That's a Naboo.
Fantastic. Were you just telling Sarah to shut up about something during the break?
He was yelling at me.
Why were you telling Sarah to shut up?
I thought she should, like, listen to me.
Does she listen to you?
Never.
It was really a golden day.
So imagine that. Than me stuck in rush hour traffic with that for an hour. And I wasn't about ready to drive him back to Vancouver. So I'm like, okay, so I'll drive him to my house. I'm like, we can just finally get out of downtown and then I'll call a cab on the way. So I had to sit there in my car parked outside of my house waiting for the cab to come. The cab almost didn't take him because he was too drunk. He couldn't tell me his address. So I had to get into his wallet and get out his ID card, praying to God that he had a current address. On his
car.
Thanks for that, Rick. Oh, yeah, and Rick told me the show was over at 3. 3:01 comes around. Oh, so, Sarah, you're going to have to go ahead and take care of the Scotty J problem.
I'd planned no exit strategy. I don't know what was wrong with me that day. But we had been planning, like, this whole thing of, like, the five bottles. It was, like, Boone's Farm and Night Train and Ripple and Mad Dog. And I'm like, you know, we're just going to mix all these things together and you got to drink it. You know, I'm like, we won't add anything, but it's going to be these five bottles. But I don't know why, for the love of God, I didn't then say, like, and how will he get home at the end of it? Like, I just totally, I just painted myself into a corner. I was like, hey, you're leaving and going to the somewhere. Put Scotty in your car.
I have this meeting. I can't get out of it.
No, it was a bad scene. No. And then the one other thing I found, I never get tired of this. This is,
Wait, over here.
Why, hello.
Hello.
I'm Timmy Ryan.
I'm Richie.
And, Richie just totally puked because he's a light drunk and he's Vietnamese and he can't hold alcohol. He can only start.
That's what's known as
I'm kidding.
Flush.
Anyway, yeah, that's known as.
So they're downtown. They're
say that again.
By Dante's.
That's known as the Asian.
Thank
flush.
You, Adam. That is Richie Bristol's mess. Jesus Christ. And we're spent.
The best part is later on when Richie just has like this is the most horrible sound. It's like he has some sort of H.R. Giger creature coming out of his mouth, and then he just goes, I need a napkin. And then it ends. It's awesome.
Yeah, we had the thing earlier where Rick started playing these, and he's going, so how's your gag reflex? So he says it, you know, ahead of time. You know, and I could tell he was just doing that thing of like, maybe if I play these things, Don will throw up.
Well, no.
Maybe I can make Don vomit if I play audio of vomiting.
Let's
see if it works.
I would be lying if I said that wasn't part of my motivation. But also, it's like I'm directly across from you. Also, you're right behind a microphone.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking that windscreen keeps like wind out, but not so much liquid.
Now, one of the differences between being someone like Richie or Scotty J and myself is that I mentioned this on the Facebook when Fatboy Roberts was saying, don't drink the Four Loko on the air. Public stupidity is no way to go through life. And I'm trying to explain that, no, their actual drunkenness and illness on the air is not going to happen. That's not part of my plan.
Well, you apparently would have to drink a whole lot, though.
Yeah.
You'd have to consume a great deal of this.
I hold my liquor pretty well. I mean, obviously, I'm buzzed, but no. It's like getting drunk to the point of being like that, that's not going to happen.
Well,
it's just not.
You're not drinking something that's being used to preserve wildlife.
Yeah.
I mean, that really is that's the difference. All right. Well, we'll clear up. What is coming up on Fun Employment Radio today?
.com. What are we going to do?
Aaron.com.
Sorry.
Well, of course, we have to talk about the bet, and we'll go into details
that's gonna
on that.
That's going to be a big part of it.
Yes.
Our football Saturday.
Yes.
It was magical.
Yeah, it was something.
And we have Aaron Duran in, and we're going to try and keep him away from the spare Four Loko.
I'll take that with me.
Okay.
If it's, if I have it on Friday, I might try a little bit on Friday, because it's just, we were reading some reviews about you describing the taste, and apparently it's just like one of the most vile things ever.
Horrific.
But he loves it, though. Because, I mean, that's the thing. He used to bring two to every show, and then by the end, it was just way too much.
We had to have a serious conversation with him. Like, we love Aaron, but it's just like, it made him crazy.
Really?
Yeah, so it was a one Four Loko rule.
Was it like
I can't even finish this, and I can totally understand how if you were a college kid and you drank like three or four, you'd end up in the hospital and they'd think you'd been drugged.
Is he, now when Aaron would drink two of these, which just is mind-boggling, is he like loud drunk, happy drunk, angry drunk?
Not angry, loud. And
loud.
Aggressive?
Perhaps a bit inappropriate.
Perhaps very inappropriate.
Yes.
Like, you know, like Aaron's
and that's
filter.
For Aaron.
Oh, I see. Really, Aaron. So he becomes Byron, sort of.
Yeah, I've seen Aaron at poker games when he's had, like, ridiculous amounts of alcohol.
Mm.
And he gets very loud. And, yes, aggressive is a good word.
No, he's funny, but at the same time, it's kind of like, okay, like, it's just a little much.
A lot of, hey, Sarah. You know, you look.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like he's in
a lot
the
of
room
those
with
comments.
Me. Close my eyes and I'm there. Okay. FunEmploymentRadio.com is where you can find that entertainment coming up later on today, around 6 p.m. Pacific time. All right, so...
thank you for having us in. I was really, really excited. I'm like, they're in there right now. Don't drink it.
No, and I got to say, I'm impressed.
Would
I mean,
you
it's
like some?
I'll try
it's fruit. It's fruit punch flavored.
I do have to say, I can tell you've been drinking, but it's you hold it way better than most folks, I'm told.
Yeah.
See, that's the look.
It's nasty.
Okay, can
it
I just...
It tastes like liquid cough drops.
That's... We've heard the cough syrup thing, the NyQuil thing. And you know, you guys both did the same thing. It is...
It's like burning my insides.
Yeah.
It is the look that... It is the look that my dogs get when they've swallowed something, but it's like it's... But they can't quite... They don't think they've swallowed it all the way, like a peanut butter kind of a thing, or maybe like something that's real dry and husky, like popcorn, and they kind of go like... the mouth just opens and closes, you know, for no reason.
Well, you taste that, and then your brain just goes, oh, that can't be right.
Must reprocess.
I feel like I just took one little sip, and I feel like my teeth covered in fuzz. From all the sugar.
On that note, by the way, you got to try these M&Ms that she's got over there.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, what are they?
Cherry cordials.
These are cherry cordial M&Ms. They actually taste like cherry cordial candies, but they're M&Ms.
Really?
I'm not a fan, but you might like them.
Oh, those are good.
Yeah. I'll find the M&M pretzel kind and bring those in, too. The pretzel M&Ms are freaking fantastic. Ooh, those are wonderful.
This evening I'm going to be doing a thing where I'm going to be experimenting and making some cookies that are peanut butter cookies that have pretzels in the cookies. So I'll bring you one of those.
Thank you. That's what I'm talking about.
Do you awesome. Bring any more to share?
Yeah, I'll bring some more.
All right. FunEmploymentRadio.com. That is coming up here in short order. It's going to be available around 6 o'clock or so tonight. There's Greg Nibbler and Sarah Still on FunEmploymentRadio.com. The Rick Emerson Show comes to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the milk packing district in glorious southeast Portland, Oregon, from where all good things come. At the news desk, it is Don Taylor, advanced technology and magic, provided by Mr. Thomas Gill, executive producer Bruce Agler, chief of staff Cheryl Kanakoa, and this is all true. The Rick Emerson Show made possible by a generous grant from y'all, so thank you for listening. We've got an encore presentation of today's Legion of News, following a brief musical interlude, followed by an encore of this very fine radio program. It is Monday, November 15th, 2010, and that is the frequency. Kenneth, thank you for listening. Be safe. See y'all tomorrow.